other. 'Tis time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Leader Lim, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
We had our new shop, which is actorsbreakdown.com/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
As I call it, home. Good morning, everybody. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and I'm very sick, so I might die during airtime, but ratings will go up. Take your bets. Today, we have a very special couple. Wow, the board is lit up, so I'm going to have to shut up. I'm going to introduce everybody really quickly. Carrie Brooks, my producer. Hello, Carrie Brooks.
Good evening. Hello there, how are you?
Good evening. I'm a dead man.
You know, you got to quit trying to be Alfred Hitchcock, because you just ain't never going to cut the mustard, dude.
Get off my Hitchcock.
That's my man. Don't bug me about my man.
All right. Kelly Corbin, good morning. I know you.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good evening.
Seems Dracula. Like you laugh.
I'm still doing Hitchcock. All right. Diane Mears Dillon and Jeffrey Bertrand, good morning.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Good morning. G-H-O-U-L, good morning. Now I just sound like a kid. Now you sound like a horror film with Down syndrome kids playing it. Letters. Go to Carrie Corbin. I would like to see a horror film with Down syndrome. Why we cannot have Down syndrome kids in horror films? What is so politically incorrect with that?
What are you talking
about? I'm talking about how come I don't see horror films with people with special or needs? I mean, I would, for once, would like to go to a horror film and a kid with Down syndrome says, I'm home.
But he doesn't know you, so how can that happen?
Exactly! That's the horror! Good evening. I'm going to get my Hitchcock on by the time I end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a royal couple of horror here. Royal! I'm talking royalty. I have talked
to
them
before.
By
the way you phrase that, sounds like they're pretty, unwanted, you know, though.
Not unwanted, undead. And let me tell you how important they are. Satan didn't even get an invitation to their wedding, and he's pissed off.
Wow, did you see their wedding picture?
I know, they're so cool. I love these
that
guys.
Is so
they're so
awesome.
Freaking cool. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the First Lady of Horror, April. Good evening.
Hello,
good evening. April. The First Lady of Horror. I miss you guys. And the lucky man who was on your arm who needs a shave, your husband.
Hey, guys.
Would you like to introduce him? I love the guy, too. How you doing, my friend? Jimmy Yo.
I am doing hunky-fucking-dory. How are you?
Well, I'm doing a hunky-fucky-dory, too, so we both know her.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween Eve.
Yeah. Happy Halloween. And I got a special thing for you two. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lovely. Thank you. Yeah, we've 15 years as of tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
That deserves another verse.
There's lots of verses.
Okay. I think we've had enough.
That's a cut enough. Thank you very much.
Yes, bring it home.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy.
That's a big finish. There we go. Happy,
you
hear it?
Happy, 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 happy,
happy
anniversary. Yeah, baby.
Hey.
Very lovely. Thank you so much.
Funny because I haven't heard that that Flintstones thing since I, well, for years, I guess, since I was a kid. And I just sent that to somebody else for their anniversary like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this song. It drove me crazy when I was a kid. It's so funny that you sent it.
Oh, we love you. Now, let's get to the meat and the potatoes. What are you two happy undead kids been doing?
A lot.
well, the main thing that we've been doing is writing and creating several more projects for us to get into. There's more Sally coming up, and we are not sure. Since we couldn't decide if it's going to be more of the Sally show or another movie, I wrote both. So, but there's going to be more Sally coming up before we're too old to fucking do it anymore. And there's going to be the Darling Clementines coming up probably in the spring, because that's not a winter type of project, considering the costuming.
Yeah.
Because I'm a
You're
nice guy. And
you wouldn't like the costuming if it was winter. You would be really upset with it.
Oh, really?
The Long Johnson fur coats.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
I don't want April, Debbie, Rashawn, and Nicole Ray pissed off at me because they're traipsing around scantily clad through the woods in the winter. So in the spring, we'll be shooting that.
Well, Jimmy, let me interrupt as a horror fan.
Yeah.
We want the girls with big boobs to run around in the wintertime with no shirt. You know what I mean? Bonus feature, baby.
Well, as far as I can tell, I'm pretty sure that I've witnessed that at least April and Debbie, it doesn't matter the temperature. You get kind of
we'll
the same result.
Yeah, we'll be putting eyes out. We'll be putting eyes out left and right.
When we were shooting The Good Sisters, I actually had both the girls sign their autograph on a piece of glass. That's
wow.
Hard.
Oh, my God. I love it. Tell me what happened.
Speaking of The Good Sisters, I'm also creating a sequel to The Good Sisters. Except
oh, really?
Whereas the first Good Sisters was a witch story, mm-hmm. I decided to make the second Good Sisters a ghost story.
Wow, I love it.
And I am really caught up in it. I am all kind of absorbed in this and all the kind of mythos and the backstory of voodoo and all the. Oh, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be great. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's a neat storyline because it was Good Sisters. One of those things where when we first finished it, they're like, "No, we're not going to do a sequel of that. That's silly. There's mm-hmm. nothing to do." But then Jimmy came up with this brilliant idea for how it's going to work as a ghost story. And I can't wait to start it.
Oh my.
It's going to be fun.
I would love to be your kids.
we have amazingly great kids. You would think that they were all kind of damaged, but they're just not. They're A students. You know, we've got a 20-year-old who doesn't drink or smoke. I mean, it's I don't know what the hell
figure.
We did. you know how like kids are usually the opposite of what their parents were.
Yes.
Ours are gonna
be. Yeah. Well, these kids ought to be fine.
One's going to be a lawyer, one's going to be an accountant. That's how.
And you need both to do filming. That is
great.
Yeah,
well, we need them because April and I don't, I mean, we can't even, no, it's ridiculous.
We can't do math.
I'm trying to help my fourth grader with math, and I feel stupid. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, I think 8 goes into 56, but I couldn't tell you. It looks like it's 6.
No,
I don't know.
Well, let's chop up 8 and put the pieces together. But, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's it, Jimmy. You're not thinking of it in the right terms.
Yeah, the right batter.
I've got 56 body pieces, and I've got 8 garbage bags.
I know.
There are 56 fingers and 8 buckets.
Oh, my. You know why, and that's like a little kid joke. Speaking of kid jokes, it's like 6 years old. I love this joke. It's like, why does, I forgot it. Forget it. The kid joke will come later. Tell me what happened to Chainsaw Sally. Was it Chainsaw Sally?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Chainsaw Sally.
It was.
Well, the movie did very well when it came out in 2007 from Shockorama, who I think now calls themselves Alternative Cinema. And it did really, I mean, really well, considering the budget that we had. It was an amazingly successful little film. And it kind of grew us this really kind of cool, worldwide, living on the fringe cult horror thing, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of weird little family of people who just love the thing, you know, and people walking around with Sally tattoos and all this other, and it's like, really? This is, all right, so cool. So then we come up with a sequel that we wanted to do, and we spent a couple of years going through the Hollywood system trying to actually have the sequel done, you know, correctly, professionally. Mm-hmm. And basically what we got was a bunch of, well, we want the, we want Sally and we want the project, but we don't want, you know, we'll bring in our own writers, and it's like, you know what, you can suck it. We'll just keep it and do it the way we want to. So we turned down a big fucking payday so that we could do whatever it is we do.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Chainsaw Sally show with the first season with our money and the second season with crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. And we're happy as clams. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all still sell. They still, every week we're sending out Chainsaw Sally show.
Wow.
So, we're happy as pigs and shit. I'm
wow.
assuming pigs and shit are pretty happy.
Oh, they're pretty
so.
Happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see them following around all the time. They're very. I remember the stupid joke. Why
okay.
did? And these, mind you, you have to have a mind of a 3-year-old, but it works for me.
Yep.
Why did 6 get mad at 7?
Oh, I know.
Yes.
You want me to say it?
Yes.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Yes, baby. 7, 8, 9.
Joke.
I love it too.
Usually, if folks don't get mad at you for eating them, that's a whole. Well, maybe I'm using the definition incorrectly.
Well, you two, let me tell you, we have since we talked, we invested in. When I say we, all of us, the team of MVP. Invested into a network, and we are very fortunate to find independent artists who are putting their work and their project on our network to monetize it. Not only do they do that, we also promote it and market it to get it known and get their names out there and to help brand them. And it works the same way as any other production or production house. They will buy a ticket to view it. Mm-hmm. That money goes right into the producer's pocket so they can make more movies and pay their actors.
Neat.
Cool.
So
that's
if
fantastic.
You, well, thank you, sir. And if you ever have any projects that are just laying around and you say, you know what, because I went through the same thing you did. I did a project once and, okay, we're going to change this. We're going to get rid of this. Oh, shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
But there was never, and I always wanted a network, like, you know, I went through the thing, oh, you don't like it, I'm going to go to HBO, you don't like HBO, blah, 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 blah. And finally I went to the guy next door and we watched it together. But we have a network now that we can do this. So if there's anything that you have laying around the house that, you know, that you're not really marketing in or in a fear, please let us be your network. We'll market it, brand it, do what we need to do.
Well, sure. I will talk to you then in private after this radio show.
Well, you better be naked,
I mean,
buddy.
The fact of the matter is we self-distribute almost everything, with the exception of season one of, well, we got the Chainsaw Sally movie. It was out for its five-year contract, and they wanted to renew, and I said I wanted it back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I've been doing that is because as long as we're the salesman, we make all the money.
Right.
Right. There's no middleman. I have access to the Internet just like anyone else has access to the Internet. So why do I need them to put my movie on the Internet?
Exactly. But
so,
if it was
a big enough project that it was going into Walmart and Best Buy and all that shit, it'd be a different
mm-hmm.
story. But that's not what's going to happen with our
right.
kind of fringy product. It's going on the Internet.
Right.
Well, the Internet's a level playing field. So
right.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what we did? We know that. And people don't know that. We have a person here who's holding, wants to wish you to a happy anniversary, so I'm going to let them in. Mr. Keenan?
That's me.
How are you doing, sir? Welcome to the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. And
well,
you have
thank
a message.
You.
You're welcome, sir.
I just wanted to wish Jimmy O and April a happy anniversary.
Thank you, Keenan.
I know
and
it's
you,
like
you almost
tomorrow,
say it like
really, right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well,
15 years and not one argument.
Yeah,
what you talk about on
the air now.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, that's really true.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
We've never gone to bed mad. We've never raised our voices to each other. It just hadn't happened. I mean,
yeah,
I assume
we don't agree on every single thing. We just talk about it.
We discuss
it.
We just don't argue. I assume some point we will get pissed off at each other, but right now, everything's
so
good.
Well, you have the advantage because you can kill her off in your series.
That's true.
Well, there is that. I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. We have this wonderful kind of artistic, creative outlet where anything that pisses us off, we can fix. I mean, when we write a Sally story, we're sitting there, April and I are sitting there going, all right, well, you know who pisses me off? People who get in the 10 items or less line with more than 10 items. That's fucking shit. Pisses me off. And so Sally's going to kill them. And so we kill them. I mean, almost every kill is some personal.
Oh,
know.
Yeah, one of them was the one with Donna in the laundry room.
Oh, the Bluetooth thing.
It was not because I hate Bluetooth in general, but it drives me crazy if somebody looks right at me and talks to me. And it looks like they're talking to me, like they're saying hello, and then I say hi back, and they look at me like I'm some kind of an asshole because they're on the phone, and I can't see their phone. It's under the hair.
I've had that happen so many times.
If you're going to be having a conversation, just don't look at anybody. Don't look at people.
I've had that happen so many times. What I want to say, wait, I want to let Keenan, because he really wants to say something to you. Keenan, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Keenan?
Yeah. Yes.
Keenan, are you a horror fan?
Yeah, I tend to, because I'm a little bit older than Jimmy O and April. And I tend toward the old Universal classic gothic horrors.
Oh,
although
yeah.
I like stuff like Halloween and some of the more modern horrors, and you know, I love what Jimmy O and April do, and I love what Debbie Rochon does.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if you give me a chance, I think I'd rather sit down and watch Lugosi and Karloff and Pryor.
Let me give you three. Tell me if you agree. We did this last night. Psycho, does that make your list? Top four?
Yeah, the original one, yes.
How about Wait Until Dark?
I don't know.
I like that one.
I don't remember
I did too.
If I've seen that one or not.
Katharine Hepburn when she was blind?
Yeah, I have seen it. It's been years, though. But, I like that kind of atmospheric stuff, yeah.
North by Northwest.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, there you go, baby.
A horror?
These are
a suspense film.
I was actually in a theatrical play version of Wait Until Dark.
Oh, did you? Were you really?
Yeah, I was Mike Talisman, or Talisman, I think. And I had a switchblade. It was a lot of fun.
Oh,
a lot of fun. That's where I started. I didn't start doing indie movies. April and I are theater folk.
Yep.
Wow. I'll tell you, Wait Until Dark was the only one at the end, I swear to God, got me out of my seat, and I ran to my brothers and sat with them when that one scene. You guys know what I'm talking about. Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, there was a scene in the play where I get killed. I'm one of the bad guys. I'm not the main bad guy, but I'm one of the other bad guys. And I get killed at the top of the stairs, and I roll down the stairs, you know, onto the main stage. And the audience sees it. And I think the director took great pleasure and said, okay, let's do it again during rehearsal. Let's do it again. Let's take it from the fall. All right, Jimmy, so if you could just take it from the fall.
Hey, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine, yeah, really. I got one. Let's see what the favorite line is. My favorite horror film line is, the call is coming from the house. How's that? Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good line.
When a stranger calls, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Wasn't it Dial M for Murder?
No.
Dial M for Murder was another Hitchcock. When a Stranger Calls is started
Carol Kane, isn't it?
Carol, yeah, Carol Kane.
That freaks you out. The call is coming from within the house.
Yeah, I remember that line. That was scary.
Anybody have a favorite horror line? Kenan, we'll start with you since you're a guest.
Oh, God. Favorite horror line. It's probably...
Like narrow it down to one.
Yeah. It's probably, they'll see. I never heard a fly. I don't remember if that's the exact line from Psycho or not.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about you, April? Because I know April. What do you think of your catalog?
I gotta pick one.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to guess, let's see. Everybody likes Dracula, so I think I'll not do that one. But how about one that's kind of horror comedy?
Okay.
From Dead Alive. I kick ass for the Lord. I love that.
I like it.
Yeah,
Jimmy O. I'm sorry. Go ahead, April.
No, that was it. Jimmy's turn.
Oh. Yeah,
I think
was
my
funny.
Favorite is from The Shining. It's Little Pigs, Let Me Come In. I love watching Jack Nicholson turn into a angrier Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, no. He starts out that movie looking insane.
Yeah, he's fucked up from the get-go. And then they, they change his clothes, and he doesn't shave. And, it's great. I mean, it's classic. It's such a classic movie.
You know, my second one is in The Exorcist when she starts talking, "Hello, Father." And she makes him remember the guy that the homeless person he passes by and his mother.
Oh, yeah.
When she starts talking about his mother, your mother's here. He's like, I'm out of here. That scared the hell out of me.
I just picked up The Exorcist. I had to run down to Wally World and they had it. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Did you get the one with the scene?
My favorite Chainsaw Sally line is, because I use it just all the time, is everything's a weapon if you push hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite,
God
too.
God bless you. This is why I'm a fan. This is why I'm a fan, Jimmy.
Then she shoves a spoon into my heart.
Yeah.
Oh, I love chick flicks. Perfect.
The sweet
now,
moment.
What we're going to do, you guys are great. So, it's your anniversary.
It is.
15 years, and you never raised a voice or anything. I talked to you guys before. God, what was it, 3, 4, 5
I
months ago?
I have spanked her quite a few times, though, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. I hope that's in your next movie.
Enjoy it.
Oh my God, these guys, they're terrific. I love this couple. So yeah. So what's your next project, and how do people pay you?
Well, they can pay us right now by going to ChainsawSally.com and looking at our wonderful selection of movies and pictures and posters and shit. We have all of your Chainsaw Sally needs.
Yeah, but not shit.
You know,
we don't actually sell shit.
Yeah, for a while, I had a Chainsaw Sally douche on there just to see if anyone would buy it.
That was so funny.
All right. We were at the fucking dollar store, and they were selling generic douche. And I thought, you know, if I slap Sally's picture on here, someone will buy this. And they did. And it was
hilarious.
So somebody has, I mean, there's like two or three people, not many people did it, mind you, two or three people that have Chainsaw Sally douche.
Oh, my God.
That is funny.
I wonder if it burns when you use it.
I don't think they would use it. One of the things we did is I opened it up and I filled it with red food coloring so it looked like blood. And I put on there clearly on the new label. It's like, do not use. Do not put this in your chiny. Don't do it.
Actually, I guess if you hark back to the movie, shouldn't it probably be sulfuric acid like she did to the ice cream barrel?
True. Well, either way,
but
that
would be really hard to make the container for that.
Yeah, it's more something you want to proudly display for your friends who come over to say, oh, yes, this is the Chainsaw Sally douche.
Oh, jeez. So tell me how your house is.
Tell me how my what is?
Your Halloween. Did you guys decorate?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we decorate
all.
Well,
you
can
barely tell.
April is being like a marionette baby doll puppet thing.
Oh, that's candy.
Yeah, it started out as a porcelain doll, but then when I realized I was going to be on the porch handing out candy this year, I just thought it'd be really cool if we tied me to by ribbons to the porch roof, so
yeah.
I'm like a marionette.
Oh my God, that is fantastic! After I get the candy, I would call 911 because there's something going on there. But I want to make sure what kind of candy you got. You guys are fun. Let me open.
You know, they have something cool next year on Halloween. They were that Jimmy was mentioning that they're going to do a haunted attraction, right? You might want to tell us about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, that is our goal. We want to open a haunted attraction called the Bloodshed.
Oh, awesome.
It sounds like a family fun.
What we
want to
do is have like a Chainsaw Sally's Woods kind of thing. And we want to have a haunted attraction that not only had haunts, you know, a haunted house or a haunted hayride, but also had a theater so that we could have some, you know, different bands come in and, you know, multifaceted, multi-entertainment kind of deal.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Where are you located that you want to do that?
We're in Maryland, right in between D.C., Pennsylvania, and Delaware. So we have lots of land around us, lots of cornfields.
Oh, cool. That is such a cool thing. I would love to come over to you guys' house, really, just to eat the eyeballs and the stuff you put in the spaghetti. You guys are too much. What I'm going to do is I have another guest coming on. She's a medium, a psychic medium. We had a witch on yesterday.
Nice.
And I'm having problems connecting Skype, so I'm going to try to connect it. I'm going to turn over the interview to Miss Carrie Brooks because she is a horror fan. She's a mass. She loves the Hitchcock.
Okay.
So, Carrie, continue the interview, and I'll be right back. But you guys don't leave till I say goodbye.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Right,
thank you. There you go, Miss Carrie Brooks.
So, you guys are very interesting. What I want to know is, since Halloween is your anniversary, what do you guys do special for your anniversary? Anything?
Well, usually we just really throw ourselves, I mean, on the actual day, we're usually throwing ourselves into Halloween. I mean, we always are involved in the trick-or-treating. Usually,
yeah,
kids. Yeah, this is the first year that I'm not going to be taking Willow around with her friends, so I'm handing out candy, which is cool. And, you know, Jimmy's going to be terrorizing the neighborhood. What was the name you came up with, honey?
I'm being a clown called Boo Boo the Babysitting Clown. And I'm going to be mobile throughout the neighborhood handing out candy eyeballs.
Okay.
So do you make the eyeballs?
That sounds delightful.
No, I bought the eyeballs. I didn't make them. I mean, the people, like, you know, I don't even know if they're going to take candy from me, much less would they take candy that wasn't in a wrapper.
Even if you don't give out any candy, just driving down the road and waving at people is terrifying enough.
He's
going to
put
up pictures.
Yeah, we'll put up pictures and video and stuff. But also, we may be putting up my arrest record, depending on if it goes south. So,
put it on your anniversary card.
But you know, here's the thing that, well, actually, yeah, yeah. I probably would. But yeah, our police station, who are very nice and very supportive of us, and they know who we are, and whenever we're shooting around our town, you know, they send people over to protect us. Not that we need protection from anything, but it's, I mean, they're just nice to us, you know. There's not a lot going on in our little town. If they found me running around, they would know who I was. And they would say, all right, well, you need to take your ass home and not do this.
Yeah, go home, stop scaring people.
Don't scare the children. How many times have we had to tell you, don't scare the children. You cannot touch the children. You cannot speak to the children. Do not look at the children. Girl, you cannot talk to the children. You need to go inside and think about what you've done.
So have you guys had, like, haunted houses? Halloween, you know, so when the kids come trick-or-treating, you know, they go inside too?
We have thought about doing that, but we haven't because we're still trying to get more people to come down to on our little street to trick-or-treat because we're, like, at the end of this block of nobody putting out their lights or anything. It's weird.
Oh, no.
Like those people go down to the other side of town for trick-or-treating or one street over, but more and more people are figuring out that we're here. So Jimmy's, every year, gets a little more obnoxious with the lighting and the sound so that people can find us way down here.
Yeah, our front yard is a huge tree with the branches reaching over the street. And so that people can see that we're there, I've been hanging ghosts over the street on the branches of the tree, and on tomorrow night we'll have a smoking cauldron with a strobe light in it shooting up at the ghosts. So if they don't see our house from wherever they are blind and they don't deserve candy anyway.
There you go.
You know, from what I just said, blind people don't deserve candy, which is not what I meant. So I think blind people should have all the fucking candy they want.
Let's be politically correct here.
Yeah,
well, if that is what I am known for, being politically correct.
That actually sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
I used to live in a townhouse neighborhood just around the corner from here, and the first year at Halloween, I mean, it really surprised me because they went completely all out.
Yeah.
Everybody decorated, you know, there was, and then they sat out in front of their houses and stuff with their trick-or-treat bags and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was a complete community that just centered on that, and it was so awesome to see the entire complex get together for one thing like that for the kids. It was just awesome.
It does happen in our town down in the more there's an area for
the
that
other side of town.
We live in this very artsy little port town. And down in the downtown area, it's very set up. I mean, they even have a Halloween parade. I mean, it's all shenanigans. But where we live, which is several blocks away, just happens to be surrounded by people who do not participate.
Most of them hand out candy on our block, but hardly. Well, there was only one other family that really decorated, and they moved just this past summer. So I'm like, darn it, now we're the only ones who really look like we're giving out candy.
Our
block is left out. Our block is really fun for the kids. They all love coming down our block because everybody kind of does different things. But we try to make ours the spookiest because we have kind of a porch that they have to step up into. And so along the driveway, I have the, you know, the different spook vampires and ghosts and things like that hanging in the trees. And we usually do a chalk outline on the, you know, on the ground and have this yellow tape up and everything. And then on the porch, when they come to the porch, they have the fog machine going, the strobe lights are going, they're hitting all of the spooks in the trees and things like that. And then I have, you know, things crawling on the ground and stuff, you know, those little monsters that you can buy that'll crawl around. They're motion activated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then the spooky sounds coming out and everything. It's a lot of fun, and the kids get so scared, and they come to the porch, and they stop, and they look. And sometimes some of the little ones, I have to pull off my mask and say, it's okay, come on up here, I'll give you some candy. And,
sure.
You know, because they get a little bit scared, but the bigger they get, they love it. They can't wait every year to come to the house. It's a lot of fun. I love Halloween.
A couple of years ago, see, we have all the movie equipment, theatrical equipment at our house. And so I have this huge 1,200-watt strobe light that's meant for theatrical use.
Oh, wow.
And I have set that at the bottom of our stairs right inside our glass door. You know, we have a, like, glass door. You open the big door, and there's a glass screen door kind of thing. And
uh-huh.
So I would stand up the stairs, which was up right as you looked in. There's a staircase. And when someone would come and knock on that thing, if it wasn't a little kid, they were a little bit bigger, I'd flip on that strobe light and come charging down that staircase as Jason. Man, I am so surprised that I didn't just run right out and slip in somebody's shit. Because
you actually made some teenagers run.
Teenagers run.
What the teenagers have done here is now that they've gotten older is they try to scare me. They'll come to the door, and maybe if I'm not outside, it's getting towards the end of the night or something, and I've gone inside. And they'll go ahead and come up and ring the doorbell, and then I'll go to the door, and there's nobody there. And so I'll step out on the porch, and whenever I do, they'll come out from someplace and try to scare me because they're used to being scared all those years, so now they come back and scare me. It's pretty fun.
Revenge.
Exactly.
You guys are all terrible. The worst thing I did, and my girlfriend broke up with me, is I got really drunk, and there was some medical marijuana kind of tasting going on. And I said, you know, today I want to do something weird. She goes, what? I want to get a baby pianta, and it's Halloween, and the kids can bang the baby pianta, and then the candy will fall out. She goes, that is sick. I thought it would be fun. When you have a little baby pianta with the voice in it, it's a, kind of like a Chucky baby, and all the kids can hit a pianta and the candy fall out. I don't know. But I'm mild compared to you guys. You guys are the master. Let me give you an update. Here's what's happening. We have a guest coming on, and she can't come on because we're supposed to Skype. I'm trying to download the Skype right now, and it's not cooperating. I'm in a dilemma. We're reality radio. She hears us. She's calling from Scotland, so it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. What time is it? 10, 11, 12?
Oh, my God.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning. She's not very happy with Kelly right now. So what we're going to do is continue with April and Jimmy Oak.
Okay.
So, again, I want to express you guys are my favorite couple. It is your anniversary. Kenan, I don't know if Kenan is still here. I think he is.
I'm still here. I had to step away for a moment. But how about I get off of Skype and see if that'll help?
No. Hey, are you calling me? Are you on Skype?
Yeah.
I love you, man. I think you just solved the problem. How are you calling me from Skype?
I click the Skype button on. Yeah, see if she's got the Blog Talk Radio, and I just clicked the little S symbol.
Oh!
Matter of fact, I couldn't get it to come through on Blog Talk.
Really?
But I had no idea. I kind of figured you were running Jimmy O and April first.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a chance because I couldn't hear it.
Wow. So you're listening to me on Skype
now? Yeah.
Kelly, would you mind talking to our guest and relaying that to our guest in Scotland? And maybe I don't need to be on Skype. All she has to do is hit the Blog Talk button on Skype and
yeah.
We'll connect to us. Tell her to do that,
Kelly.
Just call
in, speak with the host. It gives the number. And then right next to that is the Skype symbol. The S symbol, and you just click on that.
Do you hear that, Kelly?
Okay,
so on our post,
Blog Talk Radio page.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell her to go to Blog Talk Radio. You'll see the page. And then what do you do, Kenan? You look for Brian the Hammer Jackson. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
And tell her to look for Brian the Hammer Jackson and hit the Skype, and she's connected.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can relay that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, shouldn't she know that? I don't know. Okay.
Well, not everybody's Skype savvy.
That's true. There's the psychics and there's
psychics. I have one thing to say. This is Robbie. Hey.
Wait, there's Robbie. I didn't know you were here. Robbie is a owner of MVP Network, too. This lady is brilliant, and she's also in the business. Yes, Robbie, please ask our couple.
Happy anniversary, by the way, but if you're having trouble downloading Skype, maybe you should try using Google Chrome.
Who, me?
Yes.
I did that, and then it knocked me off the porn sites.
Oh, okay.
So I went back to Firefox.
CMI station, Brian.
All right. I'm trying to get ratings. Oh, I'm the bad guy? We're talking about dismemberment and horror? Okay, fine. I'm out of line. I love
hey,
you, Robbie.
Brian?
Yes, Diane?
Ward's here.
Okay. Ward! Let me see. Now, let me tell you guys about Ward. We're hearing, now, you guys, April and Jimmy O,
yep,
are the king of horror. Now, before you become a king of horror, you would have to have a special makeup artist who is the king of horror. This man can make Brad Pitt look like the Elephant Man, and he still gets chicks and bangs them. So Ward Benoit, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, my wife's not listening to that one.
Oh, so I keep forgetting people are married.
That's fine. That's all good.
Ward, the first lady of April and Jimmy O here. They have a great series. And Ward is happy enough to come on the show as a guest, too, because Ward does makeup and things like that for horror film. I'm going to have him ask you a couple questions. And we still got a lot of time, and then I'm going to interview Ward. And right after your interview. So, Ward, I wanted you to come into conversation because you are a horror fan. You do special effects in horror. Is there any questions you want to ask April and Jimmy O?
You put me on the spot there. how long have you been doing it for, I guess?
We started transferring over from theater to film about 2004. 2003.
Well, no, we did a film of our musical in 2001, from 2001 to 2002, and then 2003 and 2004 is when we filmed the first Sally movie.
Right. There you go.
No, I'm relatively new. I've been doing this stuff for about 2 years now, and I love it.
Well, it's a lot of fun. The making movies and writing movies and editing movies and all of the artsy-fartsy stuff is a lot of fun. The business end of show business sucks.
The business end of any business sucks.
Yeah. Hey, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm Mr. Sucky. Hey, I would do, if you guys make another film and you hire Ward as your special makeup person, I'll fly him down there personally. This man is fantastic.
Oh,
yeah?
Great.
I mean, he is absolutely, if you know, especially if you're indies and you don't want to go with this all the special effects and everything, he is a special effect. I mean, the zombies and the monsters and the masks that this man creates is unbelievable.
Awesome.
Cool. Ward, hook up with me on either on Facebook or Twitter. It's just Jimmy O'Burrell at either one of those things. And show me your stuff.
All right, brother, I will.
Cool.
Thank you.
Now I'm gonna finish up the interview, and we're gonna go to a Ward and wait for our psychic, because the last thing I want to have is a psychic mad at me.
She's not like a witch.
Wait, is she the psychic? Shouldn't she fucking have foreseen this?
You don't even have to be a psychic. All you know is that if you're coming on Brian the Hammer Jackson show, you should foresee it. But yeah,
there you go.
Now, let's get to business. Now, I know you guys are creative, and you're right. Usually creative people don't know a thing about business, and business people don't know a thing about the arts. It's, and that's why it's like a great marriage.
And, sometimes.
And unless the business people get in your way and said, no, we can't do this. We got to cut costs here. We got to cut costs.
It's a marriage of convenience.
Yeah, it is. It's a one-night stand.
I'm probably coming off as a guy who hates anyone in an tie, and that's not true. I understand why everything is necessary. It's just very hard, even for someone who's been clinging on for a decade. It's just very hard to get any headway if you're not in the clique of the business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just difficult. I mean, even people in the business who are further in than us, it's just very brutal to get those money counters to cooperate with anything, to give you any trust or any leeway at all. And so I understand it. I get it. It's a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. But it's very frustrating to have these stories that you want to share with fans who would love them, and you simply aren't able to because of this third party that has to come in and kind of handle things. So it's very frustrating as an artist. And I'll stop my rant now so I don't sound like a crazy person.
Oh, you got it.
Well,
you got
we know you're a crazy person.
And that's why we love you. Robbie, I didn't step on your question, did I? Robbie? Okay.
Hey.
I think Robbie's mad at me now.
You did step on her question.
I think I did. I feel so rude.
Right on it.
I have that host thing because I'm seeing the board. It's all lit up, and I'm trying to get to everybody. Per Keenan is holding, and I see Sonia wants to ask a question to Ward. 1 second. Here we go. Sonia, I like the name. Welcome to Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Sonia?
Hi. How are y'all doing?
Good. Where are you located, Sonia?
Louisiana.
Ooh. Voodoo. What's your question, my dear?
I just want to know when Ward's going to make it to Louisiana to work on some projects we have going on down here.
Oh, another job. What kind of projects? I'm acting as Ward's manager. Let me introduce myself, Mr. Greed. So what kind of projects are you working on?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on down here. We just have one in particular, but I'm familiar with Ward through Facebook and admire a lot of his work. And
Are you familiar with? Are you familiar with his manager, Mr. Greed?
Mr. Greed? No, is that his wife, or are you talking about yourself?
Oh, that's just me by association.
No,
that's just me. His wife is a very lovely lady.
Yes.
So, Ward, I'm going to let you talk really quickly. Ward, this is Sonia. She has a project for you to work on. Wants to know when you're coming to Louisiana. What do you say?
Sonia, what's up, doll? How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm good.
Awesome. Good.
So when do you want me to come down?
I don't know.
You're easy. Give her a little, come on.
Yeah.
Well, when do you want me to come
right
down?
There.
He's a very busy man.
My girl right there.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Well, we did have to work on a few things, but the director ended up being a tool, so that kind of sucked.
Yeah, I know it. Well, I was just glad to be able to call in and say hi and give him a shout-out because you guys definitely got some talent sitting there on the other end of that phone line.
Yeah, look at you. Are you a horror fan?
A little bit.
Really? Let me what about your childhood? How did you grow up?
Okay, you're being interviewed. Me or Ward?
Well, I'm just curious about I get 10%, and I just got to know. But
you get 10%.
I get 10%. I am his greedy manager. So your background, so I figured, let me guess, you were a nice little girl. You brought up in a nice home, middle class. Daddy went to work. Mommy stayed home. You made cookies. You went Halloween. You wore the little white dress or the pink dress. And then when you got into high school, you became a slut.
Is this going to become a script or?
No, I'm writing it right now. I'm just seeing who wants to be assigned to it.
Well, I didn't exactly grow up that way, but I was an only child. I wasn't a spoiled child, so. But
Don't worry, we'll cut you out of we'll cut you out in post. Keep on going.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what else to answer.
No, it sounds great. But when did you get into horror, and why are you attracted towards work? Because it's very morbid.
It's very creative.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people that can do that and make it appear real, even in a real photograph. I mean, he's got photographs on his Facebook that have not been doctored or, you know,
really?
Photoshopped, so to speak, and then you look at it and go, that's
but how
crazy.
Do you know? But how do you know it hasn't been doctored or photoshopped?
Maybe
he's
doctored, man.
I am your, you know what? One more outburst out of you, young man, and I'm going to quit being your agent. Yeah, he is talented, and Sonia, he is a very talented man, and he would make any film, even if it's an indie film, make it look like it's a major blockbuster. And you're right, you do have a good eye for talent.
Well, you know, he's a friend too, but you know, looking at his stuff before we became friends, it was pretty obvious he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that tells me something about you. And women should look at a man's stuff before she gets to know him.
I always do.
Thank you.
That's good.
Right off the top.
No surprise.
Let me see it.
Yeah. Let me see your stuff. All right, I'm interested in you.
Brandish it.
What is that, an extra belly button?
Oh, Sonia, thank you so much for calling. You are so funny and a good sport. Thank you so much.
Okay,
and
well,
since
thank you,
Sonia.
And since you two are friends, I know you're already connected on Facebook, so I wish you the best
Absolutely.
Of luck. And keep me posted, Sonia, and some of your projects maybe. Come back on and promote it, okay?
That'd be awesome. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, Sonia.
Well, let's go with Sally again. So tell me the series mm-hmm. about Sally. And Kelly, keep me posted on a psychic if she's trying to get back on because she's calling from Scotland. And she is on now?
Here.
Wait a minute. She's here?
Yes.
Wait a minute. I didn't even get her music. Hold on, you guys. You guys don't leave me.
Okay.
You
yeah,
guys
she's
don't
there.
Leave me. She's
don't
here? Okay,
me,
wait
Brian.
A minute. I gotta get, huh?
Don't leave me, Brian.
No, don't. Psychics scare me. Mediums scare me. So I got to have my friends with me. I got to give her the proper introduction. Diane.
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Okay, we got 30 seconds, and let's do the introduction. Are you ready? We got to get
no.
all of our guests. Yeah, we have to do it now. We didn't do it. It's tradition now.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
That's way
I know
too much.
Okay, give me what you can. How's that?
All right.
God, she's so excited doing this. All right, ready, Diane?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Another action-packed, spooky episode of the Brian the Hammer Show. Join Brian as he welcomes Jimmy O and April Burrell, the first family of creators of Chainsaw Sally, Darlene Clementines, and Good Sisters. And will be working on their own haunted attraction coming Halloween 2014. Belle McFadden is a Scottish medium who spends her life traveling the world teaching and demonstrating mediumship. She is the founder of the Butterfly Fellowship Training Center and still runs the Scottish branch of Center for Scotland. Her work in the media includes acting and hosting mind, body, and spirit shows, which included Public Spirited Radio Show, just broadcast in Hudson Valley Radio in New York. Then on Coast to Coast Radio, she has toured for most of the world's top spiritualists, organizations, and demonstrated her gifts in many countries around the world. Founder and editor of Public Spirited Newspaper. She has had articles in many medias, including Doing the Daily Tarot, columns. Sandra has worked in the U.S., Switzerland, Sweden, Finland, Canada, and U.K. countries. Ward Benoit, actor, makeup, and prop artist. Ward has brought some of the scariest, most gruesome scenes to life in his artistry. Get an inside look at how he creates this masterpiece.
There you go, Diane. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're not just talking about a psychic. No, that's rookie. We're talking about a medium. That's right. You hear the music? That brings chills to you. That is her theme song. In fact, that's her birthday song. Ladies and gentlemen, Sandra, the medium. Good morning, Sandra. How are you? Or good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Sandra?
Not too bad.
Oh. Sorry for the music, Sandra, but I want to enter. How about this, Sandra? Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, okay. Now, you're from Scotland.
Yes.
And you're a medium. What's the difference between a medium and a psychic?
A medium tunes in and gets their information from the spirit world. That's people that have passed over, the energies of the people who have passed to the other side of life. And a psychic tunes into the subconscious mind of a person when reading them.
You sound like my Lucky Charms guy. I like it. Can you say it's magically delicious?
Nope.
Okay.
Not
she
that
has dignity.
You would expect.
She has dignity. Fine. Now, you talk to the dead.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when did you find out that you had this power of talking to the dead?
You mean to say everyone can't do it? Is it
no.
A special cover? Actually, everyone can do it.
Oh, they could?
It's not unique to individuals. It's just like any other career you train to develop and learn about it. Everybody has the ability in them to do it.
Well, we have this famous lady here in New Jersey, or Long Island. She calls herself the Long Island Medium. When she walks through the streets, and also she'll stop somebody, and she'll see
yeah.
a dead person. Is she real or not real? Is this just Hollywood fluff?
My opinion is Hollywood style. It's not real mediumship. It's kind of amateur in my outlook. She doesn't know how to close off and doesn't really understand the facts of it. But, however, it's entertaining, and that's what people like.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. So this is scary. Most people, when they see a dead person, first of all, how do you know they're dead? And I'm not being facetious. Do you actually see them, meaning the physical being, what they look like, and you can hear them, or is it just an aura or a spirit?
It's like an energy form. They come through in an energy form, and you can. It's like I'm sure every single person has seen like particles in front of their eyes moving about at some point if they're a bit tired or their brain waves click into another level. But I don't think there's anyone in life who hasn't experienced that at some point where they see like little minute particles flashed in front of their eyes. Well, for a medium that's trained to develop that and work on it, they just see them forming into the shapes of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's
wow.
not actually scary at all. The people in the spirit world are more alive than you and I.
Really? Now, how do they come to you? Do you just, I mean, are you quiet, or is it at 3 o'clock in the morning when the dead hour comes and everybody throws a party? How does this happen?
No, if they came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would tell them where to go. No, it's basically the spirit world are queuing up to come through. You picture yourself like a telephone box that's mm-hmm. open for all the people who want to communicate from one country to the next, and they're queuing up waiting on the opportunity. So basically, it's a case of first come, first serve when you're communicating. And they would know before we do because there is no time scale in the spirit world. So it's all pre-planned before the medium even knows anything about the communication. The spirit world have it all pre-planned so they know where they're going and how they're going to make their communication.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I'm blown away. Why are they here? Why aren't they passed through the light? Why are they still on Earth?
They're not still on Earth. There's no one trapped here. That is myth. It's complete myth. It's not that they're not here. They're actually in another dimension. And the basic way of explaining it is you imagine when you have a fan sitting to blow cold air, and when it's not on, you can see the blades. You understand that?
I understand that. I understand. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
When you turn
another
the blades
dimension.
On and they're going very fast, you can look right through it. Well, that's basically how it works with the spirit world. They're actually in a different dimension from us. And what happens is they're working at a lot faster vibration than us. So when a medium attunes into the spirit world, what they're actually doing is they're speeding up their vibration so that they can actually keep up with the fan blades and actually link so that they can actually see and hear and communicate with them.
Okay. Well, what's scary is that... Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in heaven?
I don't believe in heaven as in such, no. I believe in other dimensions, and I believe that moving on, and I feel that it could be referred to heaven. It depends what your belief system is, but I do believe in another world after we pass over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you believe that there's an entity called God?
Well, again, that's down to everybody's belief system. I don't sort of register. I believe in a higher being.
I believe in
the existence. I choose to have my own beliefs. I don't express them to other people. I think everybody's entitled to their own beliefs, and whether it's God, Allah, or whatever each religion decides to call the higher being, I believe in a divine creator.
Now, when they come to you, do they ask you, to reach a certain person, because if there's so many spirits, Sonia, I mean, so many souls, so many dimensions. I mean, I'm trying to fathom. Do you have a business where people come to you and they say, would you please talk to my deceased husband or wife, and I need to get a message to him? Or do the spirits come to you and say, I need to get a message to so-and-so?
I think the spirit world sort that out before we have any say in it. They know who's coming, where they're coming to, and what's expected. And my outlook in it, when I have a client comes in to me, if the spirit can't tell me why they have come and who they are, I'm not going to ask to call someone forward. Because basically, I've never had anyone come that I can't get who they're looking for from the spirit world. But what actually happens is if someone comes in and says to me, oh, I want to speak to my dead husband, and I say, okay, I've got your dead husband here, where's the evidence in that? I like to see evidence, factual based. If someone comes in to me, I don't even ask them as much as their name. Mm-hmm. I will communicate with the spirit world. The spirit world will tell me why that person has come to me. And if they can't tell me that information, how could I trust what guidance they're given? I mean, if I can't get the question, how can the person trust the answer? This is what happens with a lot of people claiming to be mediums. They claim that the people ask the questions and basically they answer what they like. Now, where's the evidential fact in that?
Yeah. Are there good spirits and bad spirits? Have you had experience in both, if they're in another dimensional world?
Well, the spirit world need to come through 7 different levels to be able to communicate with the earth plane. So they go through, it's almost like immigration. They have to go through all these different levels to get through. So it's highly unlikely that a bad spirit would get through in a communication. Is basically what happens is people sensationalize things, but there has been absolutely thousands of recorded incidents where someone from spirit side of life has stepped in when someone's in a crisis and pulled them out the way or something. They've all been recorded. There has never, ever been one scientifically proven fact of any spirit ever harming anyone. Never in the world.
Never.
And that's
just Hollywood. I am so blessed that you came in. I am so happy that you came in. And before you leave, we want to make sure that people could get a hold of you. But I have some very special guests here, and I think they have some questions for you. Is that okay if you take some questions, Sandra? Okay,
no problem.
Cool. April, happy anniversary. I know, I'm hoping that Keenan and I know Jimmy dropped. I'm hoping they come back on. But April, do you have a question for Sandra?
I don't know. I've just been sitting here fascinated listening. It was really cool. I guess, do you have to undergo a lot of training to be able to see into the spirit world, or is it something that somebody could train themselves to do?
It's basically if you know what you're doing and you read the right literature, yes, you can train yourself. I actually run groups around the world where I go and work with the exercises and things that people can do where they can go out and meet up in groups and learn together. It's not brain science, but it's a bit like people that can sing. Some people are naturally gifted to sing, and some people, I can sing, but I can't sing a note. People can
right.
understand what I'm trying to sing, but it doesn't sound anything like the original. It's a bit like that in mediumship. If people, some people are naturally gifted, and other people take their time to get there, but everybody can get there.
Oh, okay. Neat.
And Sandra, let me ask you a question. When I hear you and you're saying it's another world, and I happen to agree with you, but that tells me that the spirits are not resting in peace. They're traveling. They're moving. And it tells me that they're in their own community, their own life. And when a person dies, let's say a person dies at 24, like I said, I know what you say. You say energy, because you don't really see the physical person. But does that make you think that in a spirit world, a lot of souls are not resting in peace?
No, I've never had one spirit come through and tell me they're not happy. And the way I look at it logically is they can come back here and communicate, right? And I've had evidence beyond doubt that they can communicate. I've been involved in a lot of scientific tests involving this, and I have never had one person tell me they're not happy. They're just in another existence, so they're happy getting on with their lives.
Wow, so it's like another journey. I want to ask you a really difficult question. If you can't answer it, I understand. There's a lot of people lately around me, and I see on Facebook, who have cancer. They're dealing with cancer. Some people are dying of cancer, and the loved ones are suffering more. And just recently, they're telling me that when they pass on, they're talking to somebody who they know who passed on before. Like a person who's dying of cancer will all of a sudden start talking to their Uncle Jimmy, who died 20 years before. Is that accurate? Is that true?
Yes, that's perfectly normal. Most people, as they're about to make the transition, their relatives that have been there before them will come forward to meet them. People are, it's a bit, when they make the transition to the spirit world, it's a bit like when there's a baby born on the airplane. Everybody's celebrating them coming. They're looking forward to this. They're all there waiting to see the new arrival.
Oh, okay. And they can see what we're doing, even though we cannot see them in their dimension?
Yeah, the best way it was described was a child communicating and said, he came through and communicated with his mother and he said, Mom, there's windows in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that we have a guardian angel on our side? If we're in a different world, can they protect us from evil or give us that little insight like, I have a feeling I should not go here or I should not drive here? And they said they have a guardian angel on their shoulder. Do you believe that?
I believe that everybody has a guardian angel, a spirit guide, a gatekeeper, whatever. Again, it's down to terminology, whatever you call it. But I believe that it's a bit like a mooring that you drop in the water. It's a concrete block that holds it in place, and the buoy is floating about at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this string attached to you that's keeping you kind of semi in place. But what you choose to do can be your own path. It's like I get the instinct about things that I know are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and say, okay, something tells me not to do this. And I don't because I trust my instinct. And then something nasty comes out of the outcome. If I would have done the situation, I've had that quite a few times in my life. In fact, it's a daily occurrence with me. I get guided quite often to go places or not to go places or to take something with me somewhere I'm going that doesn't make sense, but I'll go with it, and then I find out I need whatever it is I've taken with me when I get there.
You are amazing. One more question, and I'll let everybody go in, because you are really amazing, because usually I don't believe, but what you're saying, I have seen. But let me ask you one more question. I talk to a lot of clergy, and I love clergy. I ask them one question. Do dogs go into a spirit world, and do they continue on to their journey? A lot of clergy will say no, because in the Bible, God did not breathe into the dog. He breathed into the soul of man, which allow him to receive the soul of Christ, I guess. So do you believe that animals go to the other spirit world and continue?
I believe that animals are more highly evolved than humans.
Mm-hmm.
When do you ever see a dog that doesn't give unconditional love?
That's true. But have you had a dead, and I'm not being facetious, a dead animal or animal who passed, and, you know, you're talking to somebody and says, I want to talk to Scruffy and I miss him. Have you had that? Have you talked to one of those animals?
Yes, it's a regular occurrence. I probably say that I've never done a show that there isn't at least one animal comes forward.
Oh, really? Cool. So do you believe that when we pass, I mean, am I going to see all my girlfriends who hated me and wanted me dead and some like me? Or I'm going to see a lot. With the dimension, here's the problem I have. I live in 19 and the 20th century. Will I be able to go up into the 14th century and see, or will I see Caesar or Hitler? Yes, I'm sorry.
People progress to the next level. There's different stages. There's seven different levels in the spirit world, and people can't progress to the next level until they're ready to attune to that level. So basically you go in, it's a bit like going into a kindergarten, and then you progress to school, and mm-hmm. then you progress to the next grade. If you don't keep up, you're held back until mm-hmm. you're ready to progress to that level. So wow. No, there is no real negativity mm-hmm. on the other side. People communicate telepathically. So it takes out a lot of the earthly problems that we have, because a typical example I say to people is, if you go into a group that you meet up once a week and somebody's hostile to you, you mm-hmm. will, if they're hostile to you the following week, you'll be on your guard. So you will come across as hostile to them, and it breeds contempt. Whereas if you go in and someone's hostile and you can just tune into what's going through their mind, they might, oh, they've had a bad day with their husband or their kids or mm-hmm. something along that line, then you're not going to hold it against them. And it's a bit like that. They're more advanced than us in the spirit world. They've gone on to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our soul, you're saying basically our soul never dies. It just goes and journeys to the next level. It's an internal soul.
I don't think there's one religion in the world that actually believes that the soul dies. I really don't think there's one religion in the world. I'm actually a minister. I'm a spiritualist minister.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
I do believe in sort of the afterlife, and I believe in what goes on. I'm also studying into a lot of the scientific aspect mm-hmm. of mediumship and communication with the other side. And I don't just take example of someone saying, oh, I'm giving you love from the other side. I want evidence to back up that it is that person. And I've had some fantastic evidence throughout my life.
Wow. One more question and I'll open it up. What do you tell a person who has a loved one right now, currently, that's maybe on a hospice situation, a situation that they're dying of cancer or they're doing terminally ill? The loved one is there holding their hands every day. They don't want to see them pass. And you know they're going to pass. The doctor says they got 3-4 days, whatever. What do you tell that person, and how do you make them feel secure that that person who's going to go to the next journey is going to be okay? What words would you say?
I would normally tune in and ask the spirit world to give me the guidance to use the correct words for each individual. No two people are the same. I think when people are about to pass over to the spirit world, a lot of the time, without them even knowing it, the spirit world will actually come forward and help them and support them. It's not just the person that's going over to the spirit world that gets support from the spirit. It's the people who are left behind.
You know, I believe my mother just passed recently for about, but maybe now it's 3.5 weeks, and I believe exactly what you say. I do believe that. You're blowing me away. Okay, now that I'm blown away, Carrie Brooks wants to ask you a question. I know I only have you here for a short period of time, but you are magnificent. Carrie Brooks, please, do you have a question?
You know, I have so many, and there's so many things that are running through my mind that, you know, it's like I want to think of this, and it's like, oh, my God, this is a good thing. Let me ask it. And then I keep forgetting them. But I find this so, so fascinating. I mean, I just don't know. I really, it's like I have so many things going through my mind, I can't even zero in on one thing, but. So.
Right, how about the question about the partnerships and how to deal with the burdens of them? That's the sort of things that you kind of look at one person saying one thing and someone else saying another, and you try to weigh up why they have strong views on the same situation in the opposite direction. Is that a question you were going to ask me?
Well, no. I'm thinking of so many things. Do spirits come back as someone else, or is there really only so many spirits in the world, and once you have a being, you're that, and then you're that in another realm?
Well, I personally don't believe that you come back, but I know that it's quite a strong belief in America. I spend a lot of time working in America, and my personal experience with working with the spirit world, I believe that we do move on and we are reborn, but I don't think it's in this existence. Although I have done quite a few bits on past life regression, and I've had quite a clear communication on it, but my belief on that is that it's the mediumistic approach of tuning into the spirit of that soul that's lived before.
I don't mean to step on you, Carrie, how do you read somebody? Like, for instance, we're talking on a phone. You're in Scotland. I'm in the USA. Could you, if I asked you, could you read me, or you see a spirit? You can't see a spirit unless you actually – do the person have to be in front of you who's asking you?
The spirit world know about our conversation long before we know anything about it. They're pre-planned. If I picked up on you, I've never met you before. I know your name's Brian. I don't even know if that's your real name. But when I'm talking to you, I have a lady coming forward to the spirit world, and this lady tells me that she was a very, very strong-willed lady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She tells me that she carried a heavy burden in her life for two people, and I feel that the two people that she carried that burden for, she really deeply cared about. I can tell you that the lady's telling me that there's been a celebration around your home life, and you're learning to deal with something new within
mm-hmm.
your home life. Would you understand that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do,
I do. And I feel that there's a lot that you don't know, but you're looking into. You're learning a lot of new things as you go along. And I feel that with yourself, it's more trial and error when you're learning something. It's not a case of you learn quicker by learning from your own mistakes. Does that make sense?
Well, that makes mistakes. Yeah, I do. Sometimes I don't learn from them. I kind of like the mistakes, and I keep repeating them.
Yeah.
I'm only joking, Sandra. Yes. But there's another person. Robbie, are you here with us yet?
Yes,
please,
I am.
Robbie. Good. Thank God. Robbie's associated with a white witch. And, Robbie, I know you want to ask a question. I'm glad you're back. Would you like to ask a question?
I would. Hello, Sandra, and I'm so happy to hear you. I have several friends that are medium, and it drives me crazy when my family and my loved ones talk to me through them, when it's like, why don't you talk to me? And then my friends told me how, and it has come about. So you're totally correct about everyone has the ability, they just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So,
well, we all have the scientific parts of our brain. Basically, our communication is a bit like a radio station, and it's basically a case of knowing how to finely attune your radio station. We work with micro-energies in our body, and we finally attune those micro-energies to actually make the proper connection.
Right. All right. So are there any spirits coming through on me to you?
Sorry?
Are there any of the spirits coming through you to talk to me?
Yeah, basically the first person I got through was a younger male. Now, I don't mean young as in young. I want to say mid-40s. Would you understand the younger male in his mid-40s? He's telling me when he walked the earth plane that he was quite an active person and he wasn't a people pleaser.
Yes, I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and he's coming forward and he's making me aware. He's saying that the people that mattered to him meant everything to him, although he wasn't good at showing this.
Okay.
Would you understand that?
Yes. He was not good at showing that at all.
No. He's making me aware that his actions spoke louder than his words, because he would defend the people he cared about to the hilt. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And he's telling me that he caused a lot of problems for some people in life, and he said that it was basically he didn't deliberately cause problems. He just liked to do things his way.
Would
you understand that? He's telling me he wasn't a bad person. He was quite a good person, but he was adamant that he wouldn't go out of his way to people please.
Yes. That's a fiancé of mine that passed away before we got married.
Okay.
And that's
he's making me aware that when he wanted to, he could put on a front that would fool anyone. Would you understand that?
Yes, ma'am. I do.
And he's telling me that he was quite vulnerable underneath, but he made you think a lot because you thought that some of his actions, he knew what he was doing because he was capable of putting on the nice front, but behind the scenes he could switch off completely.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, totally.
Okay.
And there's one more. There's two more. You know, it's funny. When we're posting a show, we're so excited you being here. Kelly said something. So she was posting a show, and she usually puts a letter in for Pull Me Up on Facebook. She put my letter in, and all of a sudden, her friend Joyce, who just recently passed, came up. She goes, "That is effing weird. That never happened before," and that was her personal friend. I said, "That's the spirit world." Diane Mears Dillon.
Yes.
Would you like to ask the amazing Sonia a question? Because I can feel that you need to.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Fine. I would just like to know if there's anybody coming forward for me.
I get a kind of father vibration coming forward for yourself. Would you understand father vibration, spirit side?
Yes.
Okay. As soon as you came online, he came forward, and I was drawn to the father energy with you, and he's making me aware. He seems someone. Is this your actual dad? Because I don't feel as if it is.
No, it's my dad.
He doesn't feel quite right. Let me get this sorted out, because he's given me, he's excited. He seems very excited about being in the spirit world. Does that make sense?
I'm sure he would be.
He seems quite an excitable person, and he seems to get a lot of pleasure from seeing people succeeding in life. Would you understand that? He's excited about something, so I feel as if there's been a new start for you, and I feel that this has been a long time coming. Would you understand that?
Kinda.
He's making me aware that you're getting opportunities now that you never got in the past.
No, not so much.
Okay,
but I know he is an excitable person.
Okay. He's given me that there were situations in the past where you were just missed an opportunity by not being in the right place, and someone just in front of you got the opportunity that you would have liked to have gotten. Okay, and I feel this is more to do with your personal life than your work life. Would you understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
Okay, and I feel now this opportunity is going to represent, but in a better way when you know more about where you're going.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I feel that you tend to be either really up high or really low, okay? And I feel that you start off the day in a very positive note, but at the end of the day you just want to shut the world out.
That's very true. Spot on.
Okay, because I feel that he's making me aware. He's telling me that when he made his transition to the spirit world, it was quite sudden, but not totally sudden. Do you understand? Where he had some ill health, but it wasn't expected for him to pass when he did.
Right, exactly.
Because he's making me aware of that, and he's coming forward and he's telling me, he says, there's no accidents. He says, you just happen to be here by chance today. Would you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because he's making me aware. He says, there's no chances. He says, this was all prearranged.
Wow.
He says, you may think it's just by chance, he said, but he wanted to get the communication to you.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Can I ask you something, Sandra? Diane,
yes.
My mother just passed. Is Diane's father messing around with my mother in the spiritual world? I'm wondering about that. I warn you, Diane. You are.
I feel as if your mother is just making her transition at the moment. She's excited about the arrival there, but she's still coming to terms with the people that are really upset here. Would that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I feel your mum's just feeling that there's a lot of burden on the airplane, and I feel two people in particular, okay? And I feel that there's two people finding her passing very difficult to deal with.
Yeah. And that's the question I'd like to ask you. How do people here, since you're connected to the spiritual world, how do people here should deal with death, someone that they lost recently? They're going through the pain. They're going through questions. There's nobody has the answers. What is your advice to them when one of our loved ones leave us? What would you say?
There is no right and wrong way of dealing with a passing. Most people, regardless of how attuned to the spirit world, will mourn the loss because obviously they can't hold the person, they can't have clear communication. It's very difficult. But people who are connected to the loved ones in the spirit world and have regular communication, like maybe go to a spiritual group where they can talk to the loved ones on a regular basis, tend to cope a lot better than people who've got no communication and think they're gone forever.
Right.
But my advice with people is communicate as much as you can and trust that what you're feeling about that person will be correct. You don't need to pay a medium to get communication from the spirit world. You just need to sit and attune to them.
Is there any comforting words that when somebody is experiencing somebody, let's say, dying of cancer or terminally ill, and you know they're passing, and is there anything that you could say to them like, don't worry, they're taking their next journey, they're happier, they're better off than all that pain on earth? Because we deal with this saying, well, we're happy. I smile because my mother's not in pain anymore, and she's in the world, and she's happy. Is that a myth, or is that correct to think that way?
Well, it's correct because basically it's like when you've got an old car. Your body's just like a vehicle that you go through life in. And it's like when you've got an old car and it's clapped out and it's basically, it's not working properly anymore. Now, the soul is just the driver of that car. So basically what's happened to your mum is she's left the old car in the scrap heap and she's moved on to a brand new shiny car that can go and do anything that she wants. So she's a lot happier where she is. She can still have the communication with you. She can still see everything you're doing, and she's telling me that basically that you're clearing out a few things and you're boxing some stuff up and putting the boxes on top of each other. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, but it's more disturbing if she can see everything I'm doing. Mom, I promise you I will stop. Okay.
Sure you will.
I tried to shut the door.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
This is Robbie. My mom is here, and she would love to talk with Sandra for a second.
Oh, cool. Sandra,
this is Helen, Brad.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Brian. I hear you every day, as you know.
Oh, yes. I try to watch my mouth. Sometimes it's impossible, and I have to apologize to you early.
I just love hearing you talk.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Would you like to ask a question to the amazing Sonia?
Yes,
Sandra.
No, Sonia. Sandra. I'm sorry. Sandra.
Thought it was. Having just lost someone, is there a time, like, is it too soon to expect or too late, or what is a proper length of time before, for instance, I'm talking to you, do you have anyone stepping up on my behalf?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up when you're coming through. I don't know if it's your phone line, but you're breaking up. What are you asking? I'm hearing part of the conversation, and I feel you're asking, is there a time limit when people go over to the spirit world before they can come through? Is that correct?
Yeah, is there a time limit, or is it too early, say, for a spirit to come through? Like, I know
no.
that you read people. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you better now. No, there is no time limit. I was actually in a hall with a demonstration not too far from where I live in Scotland, and there was a spirit came through and communicated with people in the public meeting, and the couple, the elderly couple receiving the message, said to the medium at the time, no, no, this must be psychic because this person isn't in the spirit world. They got home to find out that 2 minutes before they were given that message, that person made their transition to the spirit world. So there is no
time. Do you have anyone that stepped forward on my behalf while you're talking to me?
I've got four people coming forward together, and I feel that the person that went forward, I feel it's a female that went forward to the spirit world. Would you understand? I've got a female and a male coming through, but there's four people pushing, and I feel this might have been the first time you've had spirit communication. Would you understand that?
Yes, ma'am, I would.
Right, because it's basically when you ask for someone to come forward, there was four people all jumped in together, and they were all like, I want to talk, I want to say that he's all right, so there must have been a male. Okay, he's all right. I feel that was there a partner just passed to spirit?
Yeah.
Okay, because he's coming forward and he's telling me that he's saying to me, he says, this would have been nonsense to him, okay?
Okay.
He's telling me that he didn't believe a word of this.
So true.
Would you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
And he's telling me, he's saying to me, when he went over to the spirit world, he says, boy, did he get an eye-opener. He said, they were there waiting on me. He says, and I had to come back. He says, it's no accident that I've come back this quick. He says, because, he says, now you better be sitting down for this. He says, because I'm about to say I was wrong. He says, and it's not something he ever did in his life.
Oh, my.
Would you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
This gentleman is coming forward and he's laughing and joking and he says, tell her I've got my sense of humor back.
Oh, okay. He never lost it.
Yeah, but he's telling me that when he went over, okay, he wasn't prepared, and he's telling me that he did get quite tense towards the end of his life. Now, obviously, you're seeing how you've seen it, but he's telling me from his point of view. And he's telling
ma'am.
Me he got very tense.
Yes.
Would you understand that?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And he's making me aware. He said, well, he says, I'm back to being laid back. He says, I'm very laid back now. He says, but he says, there's a first, he says, when I admit I'm wrong.
Okay. That's awesome.
Okay, no problem.
You are very amazing. And I want to thank Robbie, and her mother is royalty to me. Thank you, ma'am, for listening and putting up with my silliness. And sometimes when we come on a show, we want to change lives. And I say that on Facebook, whether it's bringing an attorney who can tell us a situation or a law that could help someone, or wellness, or somebody can deal with. And you, Sandra, you have changed.
Yeah.
I think you have given people comfort, which we all need, and questions that we have. You have answered some questions. I think everybody can tell me that, right? Or am I talking, am I wrong? Diane, did she help you a little bit?
Yes.
And I think you're right on with my mother. You're right on with my mother. And I got a feeling Robbie, and how do you feel, Robbie, right on or?
Oh, it was totally right on. And my mom and I are just flabbergasted at what she said, because we could just see the picture. We could see it all coming down, and it's just perfect. It was just like, thank you, God, for I don't even know what to say. Mom, you know what to say?
No, I don't, but it was my son exactly, and I could see the others. Say, hey, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. All four of them, my mother's mother, her husband, and her two children, you know, that have passed on. And it was just like, wow, this is incredible. Thank you so much, Sandra. We will cherish this for the rest of our lives.
No problem.
Yeah, we have
Do I have time for a question?
Well, one more thing. Yes, you do, Carrie. I want to get to that. I'm trying to hold her front. Kelly has a question for you, Sandra. Kelly, would you like to ask Sandra?
Well, this is all just so fascinating. And she's picked up. I do know that Diane wrote to me before the show and said that she hoped that she was able to reach her father. So I'm totally amazed that it. I mean, I didn't speak with Sandra before, and she said something about, you know, the first thing that she went to was Diane's father. And I do know that, you know, Robbie's brother has passed recently, and she keyed in on that. So now it's built up my curiosity. Do you see anything with me?
Yeah. Basically, when I tune into yourself, would you understand the child that didn't walk the airplane?
That didn't walk the airplane?
The child that wasn't born.
Meaning she hasn't passed over yet? Is that what you mean? Okay. I'm sorry. I intervened. Bad me. I'm out. Go ahead, please. Continue.
Yeah. Sorry. I talk in mediumship terminology. A child that wasn't actually born that passed to the spirit world. I'm getting a child that was conceived and went over to the spirit world before the child took a breath. Would you understand that? Okay.
Yes,
and I feel that this child, I feel, was a male child. Would you understand that?
I don't know that for sure.
Okay, you don't know
for certain.
But
the child does, yes.
Okay, because when I tuned into yourself, I got the child energy coming forward, but I feel that this has gone back, okay? I feel this has gone back quite a bit. Would you understand that?
Yes,
And would you understand where this baby comes to mind a lot, comes to your thoughts quite often, and I want to say more so in the last year?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
I don't think about it a lot, but yeah, I lost a child a long, 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 long time ago.
Yeah, and I feel the baby's coming forward now to make you more spiritually aware. I feel that the child has grown up in the spirit side of life, and I feel he's a young man now, and I feel you do go for communication with mediums, and I feel that quite often you get told of a male energy coming forward and you kind of dismiss it. Would you understand that?
Right, yeah, I do.
And I feel that this is actually your child who's now grown up in spirit world.
Wow, yeah, because he would have to be like 20, late 20s by now.
Yeah.
I was
getting around about 28, 29.
Right.
Okay. And I feel that he comes forward as a gentleman in the spirit side of life. And I feel that you're kind of having problems with understanding who he is when you get that communication. Does that make sense?
Well, sure, because I didn't ever know the child. I mean, that's the hard part of it all, is to have lost something that you never knew.
Yeah. His energy is very strong around you. When I communicated in with you, he came in stronger than anyone else.
Wow.
He came in very strong, and I feel that there's a lot of activity in your home. Would you understand that?
A lot of what?
Activity, spiritual activity in your home.
You know, there actually, I believe that there is. There was, when we bought this home, we didn't know it until after we closed on the house, but there was a murder in this house.
Yeah, because I felt very, very strong, like almost like the magnetic energy is sort of impaled on the building. And I feel that the people who have passed over through, I believe it was more than one person that passed over in the home, but I believe that their energy is quite positive towards the house. It's not negative
right.
at all. Would you understand that?
Yeah, I think I do. It actually, from what the story I've heard, is that a woman was living here and had, the reason that she was living in this home temporarily was to get away from an abusive husband, and he found her here, and he came in and killed her, and he tried to kill himself at the same time, though he did not accomplish that. From what I understand, he's in prison. And so he didn't ever really pass, but the woman was happy to be here to have gotten away from him, but he found her.
Yeah, I feel that this lady's energy is very prominent in your home, and I feel that you sometimes hear footsteps Would you understand
that,
where you hear,
yes,
and you think
definitely.
Of someone? And I feel that you feel it's on the outside of the building sometimes. Does that make sense?
Sure, it does. Yeah.
Sense as if there's someone about outside when there's not,
right.
actually.
Right.
Okay. I just feel
Ooh.
That was... Does that make
so
sense
she's not
to
here
you?
To harm anything. Yeah, it definitely does.
No,
she
hasn't got any negativity. She's very positive. She's quite protective over you. I think she feels
oh,
as
wow.
if that you're. She's protecting you. She's not going to do you any harm.
Okay. Now, sometimes things will... The room that she was actually killed in was the kitchen, and... there are a lot of strange things that will happen in my kitchen. Things will fall off of the shelves in there for no apparent reason. I had a loaf of bread sitting in the middle of a huge island counter, and for no apparent reason it came off of that counter and was laying far away from it, not even like it fell off the counter and just fell straight down. It was way away from the counter, so it wasn't just didn't just fall over the edge.
Yeah, I've seen quite... There's nothing that spirit can do that will surprise me. I've seen it all. I think I've seen it all. Probably they'll shock me now by giving me something that I haven't seen before. They normally do when I make a comment like that. But I've seen amazing things with spirit. I've seen things that disappear and move to other places completely. I've seen lots of different activities, so that doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I just have to say, if the spirit is trying to say something to you, Kelly, in the kitchen, maybe you should get a clue that you just don't cook good. And they're trying to scare you
oh.
out of there.
Well, I sympathize
no.
with her on that. I think certain people weren't meant to cook.
Yeah. And the spirit is trying
I'm
to tell you, get
cook.
The hell out of here. Order out. Cole's here.
Wow,
one question.
A,
no, Kelly.
That was a
she is amazing,
that
isn't
really
she?
Got me.
She is
yeah,
amazing.
Because how she picked up on what she did is just blows me away.
Exactly. Cole, really quickly, the amazing Sandra. Do you have a question for Sandra?
I was just pretty much listening, I lost my father about 6 years ago in July, and I don't know, I just feel like I've never really been in touch with the spiritual side at all, and I feel like maybe you could give some advice to try and tap into the energy, so to speak, what's out there, and it'd be nice to, I mean, I'm assuming that he is in a better place, as you touched on earlier, just because he kind of suffered a pretty bad death via cancer, and it'd be nice to connect in some way again.
Yeah, the father's telling me, he's making me aware of the sunshine, okay? When he comes forward, he's saying to me that quite often when it's a real bright summer's day, that you feel
right.
him around. Would you understand that? That you sometimes you can just be walking and suddenly you'll feel the energy of him coming in, and it's almost like an emotion that comes over you. Would you understand that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never tied it into sunlight, but I guess it, you know, definitely it just kind of comes and goes. But it'll just kind of hit me, and I'll be overwhelmed with emotion. But I never really tied it into sunlight. But I do go through that. So I guess
he likes the color yellow. He does like the color yellow. He's drawn me very strongly to the color yellow. And he's making me aware of, he's actually a very, very peaceful man. Would you understand that he's a very peaceful man?
He is. It was sad the way he went out, because he kind of got hooked on some prescription, you know, Oxycontin and stuff like that, and was not acting the way, you know, he was always kind of an eccentric, high-strung person. But he was always very, you know, pretty peaceful guy. And at the end, he just kind of lost it. But that wasn't really him. It was just the drugs, I guess. Made
right.
it kind of sadder.
Well, he was telling me, he said, go back to pre-drugs. He says, go back to pre, before he had the drugs. He says, and think of the man. He said, he was very highly evolved. Okay. He's making me aware of, he said, he was very, very deep in his personality. You never knew what he was thinking. Would you understand that?
Yeah, I guess maybe it's because he he was probably thinking about five different things at once, and he wouldn't really. I guess he wouldn't. When he wrote a lot of books, and he was one of the world's most famous sociologists, existentialists. So you wouldn't really know about what he's, unless he specifically talks about it with you. You really wouldn't know what was going on underneath his exterior. But that everything you said makes sense. Yeah.
He's telling me he was very much a deep thinker. He's just saying to me that he thought everything through and analyzed everything. He said that he used to analyze people. When he met
he used to analyze
them.
Yeah, he was probably one of the most analytic, maybe over-analyzed people. I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. I guess you can in some facet. But that was definitely him. He actually got his PhD. He went to two different hospitals in the Berkeley area, and he studied it 6 months at a public hospital, and then he studied for 6 months at a private hospital. And his PhD was about people, you know, watching people die and also getting care in, you know, the two different locations and how it differed.
He's telling me that he just started to find his place in the world before he got ill. Would you understand that? He said he was in the concept something wonderful when he got ill, and he's made me aware where he expressed that he felt as if some higher force was trying to prevent him from bringing things to the surface. Would you understand that?
Yeah, it kind of seems like it seems right on point, because it seemed like he had a really good run in the 70s and 80s, and then he developed a play-it-by-ear piano course, and he was kind of working on that for a while, but it seemed like he kind of got away from his intellectual roots, but he was starting to write stuff, and I felt like his some of his greatest work was yet to come, and it got cut short.
Yeah, he's making me aware of that. He's telling me, he says he continues, he said that he can be channeled through, and you can write if you just trust what you're getting is coming from him. Are you going into writing?
Can you back up? I didn't catch all that.
He just said to me that if you trust, you can continue writing about his work through channeling it through. He's making me aware that he will channel his information to you if you just trust that it's coming from him.
Oh, so in other words, write about people and write about things that I want to write, and then his work that he didn't, his some of his thoughts and ideas will be channeled through me via my work?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. I'll have to do that then.
And that's true, Cole.
He's telling me that this is something that you've considered. He says this isn't a new thought. He says this is something that you've gave quite a lot of thought to.
I do. I just
don't do anything about it.
It's just kind of hard.
Okay. Well, if you take 5 minutes every evening before you go to bed to note down your own thoughts, you'll see it coming together.
And Cole's a good writer. He does write. He's a very deep thinker. Sandra, you are amazing, lady. Now, before time runs out, there's so many questions. Carrie has one more, too. I want to ask Diane. Diane, is Jeff there?
No, he's not. He's at work.
That's sad. Okay. So, can you tell people how to – see, if I was a psychic, I would have knew that. But
you know exactly what he was doing at work. If he was in the bathroom or if he was, you know, cheating.
Sorry?
No, I said if Brian was a psychic, he'd know exactly what Jeff was doing at this point.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He doesn't. Thank God.
That's true.
Jeff.
That's true.
No, he is at work.
Yeah, okay. Now it's verified.
Yeah, just ask her. She knows. She knows what he's doing.
We don't trust Diane. We have to verify this.
Yeah, we're good. We'll let her do the work for us.
I want to ask you, Sandra, please let everybody know how they get a hold of you. If you have a book, tell me about you, what you're doing. You have an amazing gift. And people, and I can vouch for it right now, when she read me, absolutely true. And I'm a skeptic. So please tell people.
I have 14 books. I've written published 14 books.
Uh-huh.
You can get me on sandramcfadden.co.uk. That's my website. And probably all the information that I've done in my life to do with my work is probably on there.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Psychic
Sandra.
News Limited on Facebook is a public spirited newspaper, but it's, if you look under the heading of Psychic News Limited, that's the company name, and you can find on there. I'm on there on a regular basis. I also travel to America quite often. I'll be in New York in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, good. Can we have dinner on you?
No, we can have it on you.
Hey, I'll buy you dinner. I'm in New York. She's probably like changing her reservation plans right now to go to Chicago instead.
But next year. I'm going to Chicago.
I can't buy you filet mignon, but I can buy you like a falafel or a slice of pizza or something.
You like falafels? Hey, Sandra, let me read you. Can I read you?
She just dropped.
Oh, God.
She dropped? Our psychic dropped? As soon as I mentioned, can I read you, they're going, I'm out of here.
You knew you were going to ask her that question.
I know it. She knew it. All right, my time's up. I got what I needed. That's how I feel if they use me.
So she dropped?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it.
I'm telling you, Bryce, she knew you were going to ask, you know, that if you could do that, and she knew you were going to butcher it so bad that she just blamed it on Verizon, you know.
Well, you know, she's amazing, and she read me, all I can say is she read me pretty damn good. And all you have to do is listen to the archives if you did not get the information. I'll make sure Kelly gets me the information, and we'll put it on the blog and have people go to it and get in contact with Sandra. My psychic ability is she's going to call back before the show's over. I feel this. Mr. Ward, what do you believe? What do you think?
I'm a skeptic.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you believe?
Are you a skeptic in Brian? You probably are, right?
Oh, Jesus. How did I get into this?
I don't know if that's possible.
Now, Mr. Ward, do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
What?
Well, you're a skeptic. I'm just trying to find what your beliefs are.
He's starting low and working his way up. So it's the Easter Bunny, and then it's, I guess, Santa Claus is next, and then
exactly.
I don't know.
No, Ward just dropped. No, I'm only kidding. Ward,
just Ward, do you believe in the Virgin Mary?
No, I'm still with that, too.
Lord, while we have this time, please tell people what you're doing, what project you got coming up, because you are one hell of a special makeup artist.
Thank you, sir. Well, that movie that we did last year, Cryptids, that finally came out, and that was pretty sweet, man. You know, being able to see myself on the big screen for the first time, it was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Is that a feature film?
Yeah. I'm going
okay.
to... Let Mike know he's the director about your MVP, so maybe he can put that film and other films that he has done on that.
Ward, you know your family. You know that. I would be honored any project that you're involved with. I don't even care if you take a video camera of your wife making cookies. To me, it's a blockbuster.
I didn't like the way that sentence started. My head's in the gutter. I'm sorry. I'm so lonely.
No, his wife is a princess. She's an amazing woman, and you have to realize how good a woman she is to have a man that she loves very much, makes horror, as his life. I mean, these are special women.
Crazy.
I got a question for you. Does she ever say, listen, honey, I love you and everything, but could you make a goddamn comedy once in a while?
Yeah, she does, man.
Can you do a drama? Is there any rage here? Is it just bubble, blood and bubble curdles and axes and shit? Can you show me a little range?
Actually, I did another movie called Little by Peep. That was pretty funny. That was a director named John Russell Crane. I also... We'll be telling him about your MVP because he has a few movies out there, too, that
Bless your heart.
On your...
Bless your heart. Now, Ward, this project you're saying is a feature film, is it still being made, or is it out right now in release that we can go watch it? What's going on?
Cryptid and Little Eddie are already out. Right now, I did a movie called Future Shakes. Jack Gabley, the director, great guy. That's in post-production. Did a short film called Fresh Meat with Joe Saba. That should be out anytime soon. I need to put that in festivals. So, you know, hopefully we can get that on your
MVP network. That's you know, let me tell you, Ward, MVP is going to be, we're not with the small guys anymore. We have so many contacts. We're growing so fast. We just don't have enough people to keep up with the demand, but we're working our, Robbie's mother's listening, so everybody clean up. We're working our tuchus off. So, and we're working hard, and we love projects like yours and great projects that are on MVP demand. It makes us look good because we're serious. We're here to stay, and we are going to try to compete with Netflix, but with indies only. We're not going to sell out. There are so many indies out there with so much talent. You're one of them, and we are going to make us the platform for all indies. And with your work putting up there, it's just going to help us and make me look good. And I just want to thank you for even thinking about us. I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you have any appearances that going on right now or anything special happening?
No, I'm actually going to be starting at work on my first sci-fi movie in a couple weeks.
Cool.
About aliens and stuff like that, so that should be fun. There you go, Cole.
Do you believe in aliens, Ward?
Not a comedy, huh?
You guys, Brian, do you guys believe in aliens?
I don't believe in aliens either.
No, I figured that. You either, probably, right, Brian? You skeptical?
Yeah, No. I don't know what you. We used to call Latinos aliens when they climbed over the fence until we.
That's a different kind of alien, all right? That's an El Paso alien. I'm talking about. No, E.T., like flying saucer.
Yeah, I do. I do believe that there's... See, here's where the common sense kicks in. Every day
right.
We find new species of bug or new species of fish or new species
right.
of whatever. Why
right.
can't we find new species of human? And I just think that we are just limited on how we think. And with Sandra on this air saying about the new dimension or this other dimension that we cannot see,
right.
There are. We're not the only ones on this planet. No, we're just too dumb to find out the other ones. Or they're too smart to let us know they're out there because they see how our planet is.
Yeah, I don't know about the planet, but, I mean, the galaxy's supposed to go on forever. So if it goes on, if it is infinite, then there's got to be some other life out there past what we can reach. Or, you know,
we're the aliens.
Right. I think you're right. We are. You see how we treat our planet and our people. We are the aliens.
They're wondering in their world, are there like stupid like sub-alien? They're like, someone's like, yeah, they're humans. They live in Hollywood, New York, and Rochester.
Well, let me ask Ward a very serious question because it's 2 minutes left, and this is a very serious question. Okay, Halloween. Everybody dresses up like everybody. Witches, green, whatever. Ward, is there any time that it's correct for a white person to put on a black face? This is a person who has special effects, background, and makeup, and things like this. This is his life. I want to ask you, is there any time that it's appropriate for a white person, even on Halloween, to dress up in a black face?
Good question.
On set or something for, you know, if that's the role that they're playing.
Well,
I wouldn't say every day like I think you're talking about, those knuckleheads.
Well, recently the actress got in trouble because she had on Netflix and she showed up at a party in blackface, and she was really giving a homage to the movie, Yellow something. It's a movie on Netflix. But she got in trouble because she was dressed
right,
in blackface.
And the thing is, you know what I don't understand about that, Brian, and I don't mean to interrupt, but we thought she was just dressing up as that character, but there were a whole group of them that dressed like everyone on the show. It wasn't just the one character. It was a whole group of people who were dressed up as everybody on the show, but they singled her out because she dressed with the blackface on, yes.
Right, of course. Well, hey, I was thinking I had it narrowed down to Al Jolson or Michael Jackson, but for this year's Halloween.
Oh, God.
Well, Michael Jackson's not really black, right? He stopped being black, I guess, 30 years ago.
Well, Michael Jackson was not happy about how he looked. But we can go on. That's a whole different show.
That's a whole different
show. Yeah, he had different noses that he used to try on before he goes in public. He actually did. He had so much surgery that he had a hole in his face. And Michael used to, he had a drawer full of noses, and he used
really?
To pick out noses, yes, to go out in
oh.
public. It's a whole
Christ
different
me.
Show. But
well, what about Eddie Murphy dressing up as a white guy on Saturday Night Live?
My point. That's
ago.
My point. Or Saturday Night Live with what's his name, Billy Crystal, playing that character. So is makeup politically correct? That's what I'm saying. Politically correct, you would not do that. But if you're going with fantasy and desire and horror, it's, does political correctness come in play? And meaning the black face, the white person dressed up as a black face, or the white person wearing a black
that's
face.
That's never going to fly, man. You know, it's just racism. It's not. It's never going to be accepted, I don't think. You know, so if you do that, it's going to be risque. You're going to come under fire. But at the same point, like, you know, if you can't have fun on that one night and just have fun with the people who enjoy it and you're worried about, you know, it also, I guess, depends on the situation or where you're going to do that. I don't think you'd want to do that up in Harlem or the Bronx or out in Compton at a Halloween party. You might be whacked. You know,
yeah, that's like a favorite thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, guys, I got to fly. I got to show up in Harlem tonight. It's funny. I got to show up in Harlem tonight. I'll probably be the only white dude there.
But going blackface, they'll love you, Cole.
No, I'm not. I'm doing the monologue from Network. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the film Network where Peter Finch does the I'm mad as hell, but I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes.
But hey, I just want to great show. I'll let you guys get to your archives, and we'll chime in again when I can. And
all right, Cole, thanks for coming in, and you're more than welcome to come on anytime. I enjoy you. Thank you very much, Cole.
Thanks. Hey, take care, Ward, Diane, anybody else who's there. Take care.
Take care.
Bye, Cole. Take care.
Bye.
Carrie, I'm so sorry I didn't get you to your last question. I didn't know she was going to drop. We're going to have her back on.
Yeah, I've been talking to her since. Her phone died, and so she won't be able to call back in today, but we will work on something if we can get the Skype set up. She would like to come back as a guest, but she'll need the Skype to work because her phone doesn't last long enough.
Well, didn't she do it on Skype?
Right, Brian.
I'm sorry.
No,
yeah.
She did not. She never did. She never was able to get through on Skype, so
oh,
whatever
shit.
The problem was, she wasn't able to.
Okay, what we'll do is that Kenan gave us a clue. What we'll do is send her the Skype. The show, the page, and she can go to all of our shows, and she can hit Skype, and she gets connected to us right away.
Well, that's what she was trying to do, but she was having a problem doing it. I think what she's trying to do is to go through on her computer, not her telephone. I think that's because she was saying that her phone doesn't last long enough.
Right.
And I think what she's trying to do is do it through her microphone on her computer. And it wasn't allowing her to do that, so she had to use her cell phone to call.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. We have to fix that because if I have to get my computer back up on Skype, then I'll hit the button and we'll go there, get her number. Okay, Ward, you're a skeptic. Have you had, and I understand you're a skeptic, but, you know, even skeptics believe in something. What do you believe in, Ward?
That could be a question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just believe it in yourself, I guess. You know, do what you got to do. I bet.
Do you believe in something supernatural, something? Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
No?
No, sorry.
Do you believe that there's a G-spot?
There has to be.
Ah! You believe in them, but no man has ever found it, but yes, it's there.
Oh, my wife can call and I'll let you know about that one.
Oh, man, but you know, it's funny, people say this. I've come across atheists, I've come across a lot of people, and they say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in this. But as soon as something happens, they get up, they're the first one on their knees, and they start praying. And I'm going to tell you something, it couldn't hurt.
I hear you.
But you're a hell of a guy. I love you. You know you're our family. Anything that you have to promote, we're the guy. Any movie, I don't care what it is. If you have a pitch, if you know somebody that says, hey, Brian, I know somebody wants to pitch it to the network, we have that connection now, Ward.
Okay, cool.
And is there anything else would you like to say before we go?
Just had a few other movies that was working on. Maybe I could shout out there.
Sure.
I did a movie called Dead Burger, Steve Rock, Abomination Films, Invisible Forces, I shot Booty Booty. I know it's funny. He thinks it's funny, too. This movie called What Comes Around, Victor Rodriguez. Schenectady Day of the Dead, Dave Tanner, director. And Far From the Heart, Victor Rodriguez and Amy Helwinski. Yeah, I will push to get them on your network, too.
Please do. And Ward, when you do push to get them on, let them know that the difference between us and anybody else is that we will market them. We will promote them. The very least, we'll get the name out there. And we'll get it known. And our goal is to monetize them. Yes, we get a small percentage. I don't know what the percentage is. Is Robbie still here? I hope she is. Okay.
She's here away right now, but she's still here.
Okay, cool. Oh, how you do? I would love to call you by your last name because it's only proper. This is Robbie's mother, and I'm very cautious when she's...
And my name is Helen, or you can call me Mom. I don't care, but here's Robin.
Wow. You're the first one who's nice to me, and I'm going to call you Mom.
She would love
it. And I want to talk to you about our sister, Robbie. I think she needs time out, if you know what I mean. We'll talk, Mom. I love her. So Robbie's also the owner of the MVP Network. And the reason I'm saying that is because we got some strong, talented people behind us, and we're going to make this a force. And, Ward, I promise you, anybody that you refer to us, they are going to get an all-star treatment. And the very least, their name will be out the universe. But we're going to monetize it, get some money in their pockets. That's our goal.
Awesome.
And you're a good friend. And any of these movies that we can go see right now besides the first one that people should know about and talk to you about, and where do they reach you, Ward?
Chris, if you can see online, you have to go to Archangel Productions, and I think you can watch, I think it's like $3 or something like that. And I'm not sure about Little Black Peep right now. But you can hold me on my Facebook page, Ward Benoit, and I have an IMDb page, Ward Benoit as well. Still working on a website.
Okay. Give our love to your lovely wife and hope she knows that we're kidding around. And when we kid around, it's because we know that you're family and we think we could. And your lovely family.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Great Ward Benoit. And I was not kidding. I'm sorry that you dropped April and Jimmy O, but I'm very serious. This guy, Ward, is a specialist. And if
Jimmy and April both had to go back to work, but they wanted to say thank you so much for being on the show. They will be back on the show. Jimmy wants to talk to you more about the network and about publishing his book or something. I'm not sure. I kind of missed that part of the story. But he wants to talk to you some more in depth. And also they will be coming back on, and they just wanted to say that they had a great time and they hope that they did good.
Oh, they did great. I love them. They're my first couple. I love them. Do, yes, and they'll probably listen to the archives. Jimmy O and April, I'm a fan, and you know it. And like I said, if you're working on another project, please keep Ward Benoit in mind. Contact him on Facebook. I was joking about I'm his agent or anything, and I hope the lady who came in didn't get offended. But, sometimes they have to pay the dues. But anyway... contact Ward on Facebook. If you got to get him on your set, and I will handle the particulars if you guys make some kind of agreement. What do you say about that, Ward?
That'd be great, man.
And I'm telling you,
we'll travel.
See, you are the unsung hero. You are the indie that these big companies with their fat pocketbooks and worrying about their accounting and worrying about the movie line, and they don't know about you. You are a celebrity, and they just don't know it. But until they do, I'm going to take every advantage of you and drive you to the ground and suck every single drop of your energy until they find and discover you. You're my friend.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Sounds great.
I want to thank Mr. Ward Benoit. I want to thank our other guests, Jimmy O, April Burrell, the first family of indie horror, creators of Chainsaw Sally, which I am a fan of. Hopefully I'll get it on the network. They also have the Darlene Clementine. Sounds like a Western? Ha-ha, fool you. Somebody's going to die. And the Good Sisters, and they will be working on their own in a haunted attraction coming into 2014. Of course, the amazing Sandra Bell McFadden. She will never be forgotten in some of our people, mine, at least mine. She is a Scottish medium who spends her life traveling the world teaching and demonstrating mediumship. She is the founder of the Butterfly Fellowship Training Center and still runs the Scottish branch of the center from Scotland. It's nice to have a Scottish. She didn't say magically delicious. Why didn't she say magically delicious?
You offended her.
I offend everybody.
Well, she didn't play into your game. You know, you can only push a person as far as they'll let you push them.
I want to have her back, and I'm going to make her say it.
She probably has never heard of Lucky Charms.
Apparently not. That begs the question.
She's New York knows Lucky Charms.
Well, I wonder if she's a true Scottish woman then.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I think the magic is delicious is not true, and that's why she wasn't going to do it.
These artists.
Yep. She's
if
better
Mel,
than that.
Well, no, better than that. If Mel was here, she would have said it. Mel would have helped me out, and we would have had her.
Yeah. But we'll get her next time. Once she realizes that you're just playing and that it's all in fun, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have my mom.
I'm sure her mom's all about you right now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have my mom have a little talk with her.
What I'm talking about. And then she'll say it next time we have her on the show.
I don't know. When my mom has a talk with me, I don't listen. So what hope do I have?
I just think she was simply amazing.
She was magically delicious.
More than amazing.
And my mom said she was more than amazing. It blew my mom away. I mean, everything that she said, we could just see it, the picture on the wall of them. My sister, my brother, my dad, and my grandmother fighting to stand in line to talk to my mother. And then the things that she said about my dad was just like totally blew us away because it was so him. You know, it was like, oh, my God. There's no way she could have just made that up. And hit my dad on the head like that.
Yeah, she nailed me, too, because I heard her with you guys, and I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. And so I asked Brian, I said, let me ask her. And but what she came up with on me completely blew me away. Those are some things that I have never talked to anybody about. And it's like, what? I was expecting, because Brian had mentioned that I lost a friend recently, I was almost expecting her to come back, because that's kind of what, it was kind of like, yeah, let me see what she'll do with me. She'll probably go back to the friend that Brian mentioned that I lost. And she completely went away from that and went to two things in my life that, like I said, none of you guys knew anything about. I think Brian did know that someone was killed in my house. But aside from that, no one knew anything else. And that just, wow, I just started shaking and sweating and everything whenever she started talking. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and she wasn't describing my brother. She was describing my fiancé that I had that died of leukemia.
Years ago.
Yeah, my brother came to my mother. Yeah.
And Kelly, she sent you a message. She's saying, don't cook. The ghost is telling you to get the hell out of the kitchen.
No,
even they don't want
didn't.
You in there. That the ghost said, get the hell out of the kitchen. They told
I'm
you to make
great
some bread.
Cook.
Well, apparently in your world.
What she was telling you is get rid of the white bread and go to wheat.
Maybe
exactly.
So. That could be.
That could be. Ward, do you believe yet with all these stories?
What's that?
Wow, that was
do you believe
crazy.
Yet? Do you believe that she touched on it? I'm being honest. She touched on my mother. What do you
think? Oh, I do. And like I said, when she started hitting you guys, that's why I wanted to chime in because I thought, she's gonna call up what Brian's already mentioned in my life. But she didn't. She went completely a whole different direction.
I should have asked her question.
Delicious. And then she wouldn't pay for food in New York.
Oh, you didn't say that. You said, could you have dinner on me?
I said on her. She goes, no, it has to be on you.
Well, if I'm going to have dinner with you, Brian, it has to be on you, like on your stomach. No, I'm kidding.
Mom, I told you, Mom. she pulls her hat. That's my daughter. I just can't. And I love her for it. I love her for it. And, Sandra and Diane, you too, huh? Diane, you hit right on, right?
She, yeah. I was just like, shocked when she said, I have a father figure, and I was like, wow. And it brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah. It brings tears to my eyes thinking that your dad is hitting on my mom in the afterlife. And Diane goes, don't worry, he's a nice man. And it was right when my Diane tried to make me feel better, and then she's telling me the story, and I go, now when I pray to my mom, I'm thinking Diane's father going, can you leave a message? We're busy.
Brian, I can't believe that you didn't ask her, do they have sex in heaven? Or
I was going to. That was my next. Go ahead.
Oh, and then you got cut off. Oh.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
You know, that's interesting that they go on and they continue life in another realm. It's like, what do they do over there?
They spy on me in a bathroom. Do you realize I'm damaged? I can't do that no more. At least I had privacy. Now I'm going to go, when I can't finish, I'm going, Mom.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
See, now you got to watch what you do, Brian, because she even told you that they see everything you do.
I know. I'm not particularly happy about it.
When they want to, Brian, it's not like they're 24/7 watching you. And they want to. So if you're doing something and they see it, it's because they want to see it. Like she said, they're notified way before we do anything.
They're notified. All right. That makes me. You're not helping, Robbie. Oh, my son's going to do that in about 20 minutes. Oh, gosh.
Enamored or interested in our sex life.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know either about the sex life thing. Mother says they don't care.
They don't. They're in a different spiritual being. Sex is animalistic and medieval.
They
right, Mom?
Laugh at us and say, God, I'm glad I'm over that.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I'm glad I'm over that.
Yeah.
Although there was that true movie called Help Me Out, Somebody. It's a true story called where that spirit kept raping the girl,
yeah.
kept raping. It's a true story.
Was it The Omen?
No, wasn't The Omen. Were you watching Catholic horror movies? I was a boy. Get him, Father. No.
Oh, I thought he said Beyond.
Oh, no, I think he said the – did you say the Omen Ward?
Yeah, Omen Dame.
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
I thought it was that.
There's no raping going on in the Omen. I don't know.
I thought the ghost was raping a woman, and there is a movie that happened. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a true story. It was called – I forgot the name of the movie, and what happened is the ghost kept raping her, and she finally moved, and it continued with her life, and the ghost continued, found her, and still kept raping her. Now, how good are you in bed when the ghost has to come back and go, this is some good stuff? But,
that was
Brian,
that's a story?
It's a true story, and they continued it. It started in 1973. This lady moved in, and she was a good-looking lady. And the movie was very graphic. And she'd be sleeping, and all of a sudden the covers will. And I don't want to get too graphic because Mom's listening. But, her legs would part, and you could see the imprint of the bed where the ghost is. Hands are, and she's trying to get away, and he keeps raping her. I can't remember the damn movie. Then she moved in 1989, and she moved to another country, and the same entity, that was the movie, was it Entity? The same entity kept raping this woman over and over. She did a radio show not too long ago, about a year. I was listening to her, and she was telling the story.
Wow.
Yeah, how you like that?
I like that. I wish that would happen to me.
Oh, gee.
Forget
Mom.
About Mom.
I can't be great, though.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I can't be great. There's no way anybody can break me because I want it, so.
Oh, God. Well, there you go.
That's
That's the truth.
Robbie's into ghost sex.
Yeah, really.
Exactly.
That'll be on the network. So don't forget, Ward Benoit. You can catch him on Facebook. Ward, once again, Ward Benoit. He's an actor, makeup, and prop artist. Ward has brought some of the scariest, and he has most gruesome, yes, he did, scenes to life with his artistry. And Ward, again, where can people reach you on Facebook, my friend?
Ward Benoit Facebook, or you can check out my IMDb Ward Benoit page.
There you go. There you go. Great show today, everybody. Last exit question. Anybody before we... Carrie, I am so sorry I didn't get a chance. I said, Carrie has a question, and then she dropped, so I tried to make the attempt. Did you get most of it answered, Carrie?
I got none of it answered.
Okay.
Oh,
oh come
I'll
on.
Her Facebook page, Carrie, and we'll get her back on the show, too.
Wait a minute, Carrie, you did answer.
No, it was really, I found it very interesting when she was talking about how, you know, when somebody's going to come through, how it's pre-planned, so you already know what's going to happen or whatever. The spirits
right.
have done whatever. So
right.
I was just curious, you know, when you say you're doing something, and all of a sudden you look around and you think, God, I know what's going on here. You know what the next person's going to say and whatever. Is that like, you know, did spirits come and make the arrangements with you that this was going to happen? It's just, you know,
I
how they
that,
always say, you know, it feels
true.
Like deja vu.
I bet that is true, Carrie. Good question. I believe that they're maybe preparing you for something. I think they may be like in a, ahead of us, so they already have, you know, if they're going to tune into us, they're tuning into us before we know it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of say?
Yeah.
Well, that's why,
yeah.
that's why I wondered about that, because, you know, the way she was talking and stuff like that, it's like, oh, man, you know, now that would make sense, you know, why you know, feel like I've already had this conversation, you know. You know what the
yeah.
answer is going to be. You know what's going on, but... You know, how do you know?
Well, that's
yeah.
how I have that feeling, too. She made a lot of sense to me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to start planning. I'm going to go see that. I'm going to go to that butterfly church. I'm going to Scotland and meeting that woman.
Well, she's coming here.
Because I was, that's another thing I wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, she's coming here.
I know.
Yeah,
but
she said she's getting ready to go on tour. She just told me on my Facebook page just a second ago.
Well,
see if she's getting close to Louisiana and the California. Ask her if that's on any of her stops.
Okay.
I would think New Orleans would be. I mean, come on.
Of
well,
course.
There's those cities around. Everybody's
mostly too.
Yeah, she's incredible. I'm just blown away, and I feel like a whole different person. I already knew that because I've you know had some things happen before, and I have a really long story. I'll tell you sometime about my conversation with my sister after she passed when she was talking through a medium, and it pissed me off. And he told me what to do, and I did it. And what she did just blew me away. So I'll tell you on that story sometime. I don't know. We don't have time today, but it's incredible. But it was just a whole nother level of that, you know, proof that it's there. It's just proof.
I can help you
yeah.
with that story. I can help you with that story, Robbie. Friday, we have our witch, Melinda, coming back on. So to share that story, she can shed some light on that, too.
Oh, there's no light to be shed. There,
oh, okay.
It
yeah, oh, I believe you.
Away.
Oh, I'm a believer. Oh, I believe you, Robbie. I seen it. I believe you. I am a believer. We have to just hold, we had to tie down Ward, hang him by a bridge, by his feet. Until he admits that he believes.
Well, she didn't read anything to him, did she? Did she read you, Ward?
No, she didn't. I should have asked something about my grandfather or something.
Oh, Ward, I am so sorry.
That's fine.
Kelly, see when we can... No, that's
yeah.
not cool.
We want her
see,
again. We want her again.
Yeah, tell her when she... see if she's ready for Friday, Kelly. Ask her, and tell her I won't keep her on long. I'll just keep her on for 20 minutes, see if she's available for Friday. She's a businesswoman. She'll come back on.
Okay.
She's on
tour. And we'll promote her tour.
Exactly, exactly.
Right.
We got to get those questions answered about Ward's grandpa, because we got to make this. We got to make him believe.
Yeah, if you ever have an experience like I experienced, Ward, you would believe.
What's that?
I said, if you ever had an experience like what my mom and I just witnessed, besides that, but what I witnessed before, 25 years ago, it's just incredible. It is. When you believe it. When you know, when you've had proof, you know. And I understand believing it if you don't have proof. You don't have any proof. Why would you believe it?
Right. Well, that's why I was being a little skeptic. I thought, well, she'll come back to what Brian's already mentioned about me, but she took two topics that I don't discuss, I don't even think about for the most part, and that blew me away. I mean, I would have believed her to say my grandfather, my grandmother, or something like that. I would have believed that, but to have an unborn child and to tell me that he's grown now and this and that, and she nailed the number of years old he would be, and then to have the person in my home who was murdered that I didn't know about when we bought the home. And, that just freaks me out completely. And I didn't lead her into it. You know, sometimes you watch it on TV and you see them leading the person.
Right.
Yeah, asking questions. But that's why I was very careful to say yes, yes, yes. You know, not to expand on what she was asking me. And she still just nailed two things in my life that nobody really, there are very, very few people that know about those events in my life. And they're from two different points in my life, not just from 5 years ago or something like that. These go back years.
You know, it's very special. It's like I said, and you guys may take it as nothing. I had my dog. My dog was my first death of my family. My mother was my second death. And one lady said to me, she goes, I had no idea, Brian, your mother passed. And I go, yes. And she said to me, she lives in the building, and she says, you seem like it was harder for you to deal with your dog than your mom. And I looked at her and I said, yes, and I'll tell you why. My dog made me realize, and I saw what he went through, and he looked at the spirit. I saw that he made me believe that there is an afterlife. Before, I wanted to. I really wanted to. But I never quite believed it because I needed proof. But when I saw my dog look up at a corner and follow something out the door and out the window and keep staring at it, and when he died, he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. His legs were spread out. He got up enough energy, and his shaky legs went to the spot where he looked. And then with his shaky legs, he came back and he just passed in the living room. I knew. And then I knew this, and then I wanted to know if he was at peace. And I asked every clergy I could, is there a heaven for pets? And they said, no, they die. They just go. I said, I can't believe that. And they would tell me, God did not breathe breath into an animal, only to man, and that's able your soul to go to heaven. So I couldn't get the answer. And when she says yes, and she says how spiritual a pet is, cats and dogs, which I already knew, and explained to the other dimension, it made sense to me because there's no way these cats and these dogs with their spiritual being cannot go to heaven. They're the most spiritual creatures we have. So she answered my question, yes, they do go on. And here's what I do know, what I already know. When you do pass, you don't die. You go on and take another journey. It's not forever. You will see them again, and they will lead you to that journey.
I love your explanation about
the car.
I'm sorry? I love your explanation about getting a new car.
Oh, yeah, I did too. I do too. And a fan.
Yeah.
And that's what I believe. I do believe that when somebody passed, it's not forever. You're going to see them again. They're just in a different dimension, and you're going to be with them again. And in fact, there'll be your angel to take you there. I do believe it. And she just confirmed what I believe. That's all. We're going to make Ward believe because we're going to tie him up and put him in tar and feathers, and then we're going to light his feet on fire.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt here, but Sandra said if you will make sure that the Skype works for her for Friday, she will come back.
Oh, fantastic.
She has to be able to do it on Skype.
Okay.
So I told her I'd get you on it, and we would test it out and make sure it works, and so she'd be set to come on.
Okay, let's test it out tomorrow. Hey, you got that? Hey, there's your question. Ward, you got to come back Friday.
I will call in.
There you go.
You will believe. Damn you. Damn you.
I will call in.
Okay, my friend. All right, everybody, that's our show for today. Friday's going to be a hell of a day. I was sick. Carrie Brooks was nice enough to take my place. We had a problem with Skype, so I came back, and Carrie stuck with me as my host. Thank you, Carrie. Just in case I died, Carrie didn't want the show to be interrupted. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's what she said. Well, if you die, at least I'm there. And I can make the show go on in your memory. Thank you, Carrie. You're going to miss me when I'm gone, all of you, even though you pretend not to.
Yeah, but you won't be – but, you know, the thing is after you leave, then you can come back when we're doing the show and say, okay, this is what it's like on the other side.
Yeah, my dad did. He wasn't ready for that.
I'll shed a tear. I love these guys. All right, everybody. I'm out of breath, and I'm not feeling well, and thank you all for coming in. I can't express enough that Ward Benoit is here. Thank you, my friend, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And again, Jimmy O and April and Sandra, not Sandra. Sandra is coming back on Friday, and the witch is coming back on Friday. Whoa, Melinda's coming back on Friday. Oh, my God.
And
Thursday is Thanksgiving. Hey, when is what's up
Thursday
for tomorrow, Kelly?
Halloween.
Oh,
Halloween.
Yeah. Same thing. Kelly, who's on tomorrow? Is our great actor coming on, Oberst Jr.?
Yes, tomorrow we have Bill Oberst Jr., but starting out the show will be Bob Christopher, who is a lead investigator of a ghost hunting team for a show called Ghost Detectives that's on TV on the East Coast. And he'll be on first, then Bill Oberst Jr. will be on second, and third up will be Mickey from London, who is also a ghost hunter, and he's going to be coming on to talk.
My boy Mickey.
Yes, right, Mickey.
Hey, there you go. That's how you can try the Skype.
There you go. Hey, you know what,
Oh,
Mickey?
Yeah. That's a good idea. We'll try to get Mickey to try the Skype.
Okay, I'll get it together. Diane will sign on as host, and then we'll put on a Skype thing. You know what? Tomorrow, if you're on Skype, you're going to be able to see me. I'm going to give you my costume. I got a costume this year. I got a costume this year. So you want to hear what it is?
Yes.
Pillboy?
I don't think that's very funny. Now you know why I worry about the afterlife, about your father.
No,
I'm going in blackface. No, I'm only kidding. Darth Vader. Darth Vader.
There you go.
Jesus Christ. I thought I'd get it. Thank you.
Thank you, Master.
Father. Yeah,
are you
exactly.
going anywhere? Or?
No, I'm just to dress up for the kids. I already got the plan. You are my children.
You obey me.
Yeah, really. I sound like a pervert. Darth Vader's a pervert. Jesus. All right, everybody. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but
much.
You can't be Darth Vader on Skype because nobody can see you.
Then I'll be dark.
Right.
Then I'll be dark. If you're
what
on Skype.
That?
I have no idea.
Wow.
Is that Darth Oscar telling you no way?
I can't hear you guys.
There was a loud siren beep like thing.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear it.
So you said a fire.
Wow, I didn't hear it. It must be a ghost who's unhappy with the show.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're out. We're out of here, and you know what? Thank you so much for a great show.
Thank you for having me on again.
You're my friend, and anytime. And Diane, love you. Diane Mary Dillon, love you. And Carrie Brooks, love you. Kelly, love you more. Robbie, see you later. Love you. Robbie's mom, love you more. We're not afraid of no ghosts, right, Ward?
Nope.
All right. We'll see.
See you, we'll see you tomorrow on Brian and Hammer Jackson Show with some more Ghost and Ghost Detectives. Yeah!
There's something strange in the neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Some great entertainment on the radio. Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters.
No, Brian the Hammer Jackson. Thank you, Kelly.
Oh.
Rehearsal, rehearsal, rehearsal. Any last words, Diane, before we go?
No.
And that would be the last word.
You want me to end
right.
it, or are you?
Yes. Should we end it the way we leave the studio? Would anybody do the honors of us leaving the studio?
If sure. I can find it.
Let's all leave together, quietly, patiently, and let's get in the car. There you go. Take my hand, Kelly. Hello. Hey, Kelly, man, in the car. Diane, where are you going? Kelly, check it out.
420.
Oh. And Diane, would you do the honors of ending the show while we were on the plane?
Okay, I have one final word.
Yes.
You veteran,
All right.
And thank you.
Have a good day.
You too,
you too,
sweetheart.
Diane.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.